Hey, let's start the show.
Welcome to This Is Only a Test. This is episode 41, recorded December 16th, 2010. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, my dear friend, sitting to my left, wearing a Portal 2 t-shirt. You wear that a lot, Norm. Norman Chan.
I wear Forever Video.
Exactly. Directly to Norman's left, as is his norm. You're quite decked out today. You have seem to have had a beard trim, a haircut. You're wearing a sweater and a collared shirt. Gary Whitta. How you doing, Gary?
I'm well. The beard trim we'll get to. I'm sure the fancy sweater is just simply what happens when you run out of clean t-shirts to wear.
Interesting. So you're saying that that at this point it's laundry day.
It's ironically when I'm at the end of my when I'm least likely to want to care about my appearance that I end up having to wear a smart shirt because it's all I have left.
And once you wear the smart shirt, you have to actually do your hair. You actually have to look
presentable. Larry David says, you have to maintain the outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be mismatched. You don't want to be wearing a pair of flip-flops and a tuxedo.
Exactly. So I'm kind of feeling very preppy and smart casual today.
I know. I think you could work in the financial district, perhaps.
Everything you say is more authoritative.
It worked out great, actually, because I was over at the PC Gamer offices today, and there was kind of a random happenstance where we had six editors-in-chief of the magazine, five former and one current editor-in-chief, were all in the building completely by random.
It was all but one since the magazine started. Yeah, but all but two.
But no one cares about the ones that weren't there.
Who's the other one?
Greg Viderman and Matt Firm.
Oh, I forgot about Matt.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So there were six of us all together in the house, and it was just a cool little moment. And so we managed – it was a photo op. And so it worked out quite good that I had a nice clean shirt on. I didn't look like a scruffy person or anything.
That's good.
The beard you look like the most successful out of all of them.
I do. And well, I mean, there's a reason for that.
Because, you know.
Because you are.
Because I'm wearing a, because
yeah,
I'm wearing
you have a nice
because
sweater.
Because I have a nice sweater.
Right.
I managed to fool people.
That sweater is worth more than Gary, all other Gary Steinman. I have no
idea. Well, I wasn't going to name names, Will. I mean,
I was just going to call out Gary. Gary and I have a long-standing feud.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he was my mortal nemesis. I mean, in a friendly way. I love Gary.
He actually, he and I had a little bit of a feud for a while as well because he banned me from the PC Gamer podcast.
Well, you're a little bombastic.
I have been known to shoot my mouth off a little bit without thinking of the consequences.
I can't even imagine.
And on one occasion, the consequence was my banning from the PC Gamer podcast. And in fact, it wasn't until there was for his. I think as far as he was concerned, it was a permanent banning because I wasn't allowed back until after he left, and there was a change in management.
Yeah. Well, Logan's always been a fan of the Widow, though.
I know.
And you back in the day, you and Dan Stapleton had some spectacular arguments.
Yeah, we had some good feuds, but it was all, it was all good fun. Dan is very much, as you should be in that position, he's very much a PC
Well, he's
guy.
A diehard.
He feels very strongly about PCs to the point of, he really doesn't like console games, and I'm more of a pluralist. I'm more of a multiculturalist gamer.
You and I are much the same. We like games.
I just like games in whatever shape or form they may come.
Yeah.
But Dan, I think, is much more of a platform.
An iconoclast.
Evangelist. Really. Yes. Yeah.
So what's going on this week? TV Quest. Norm, has your TV arrived finally?
TV has arrived.
Have you plugged it in?
Last week. It's been plugged in.
Take a look at it.
We've seen pictures.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yes.
It looks very, very shiny. Do you still have the plastic wrap on?
I do have plastic wrap still on.
Okay, because it looks very, very reflective.
Yes. So it came in last week. I mentioned it last week when it was still in the box. And this past weekend, I unboxed it and put it on the floor and turned it on. And it is a big TV. Actually, it needs to be that big because the room is so tall.
It's true. Even my old TV, because mine's in a big living room.
Have you ever
thought
about mounting it in portrait? Does anybody do that?
I guess that's one way you could go. Do you mind watching movies on your side?
If you lay on the couch.
Lay on your couch.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Ideal. You don't
put it on a swivel wall mount, and then you could adjust it for whatever.
Oh, man. Then the TV
you feel like having.
TV needs a lock button, so it can lock orientation.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, but then they just turn it into a volume switch.
Yeah, fucking volume switches. So
Norm, TV's on.
What was the first thing you plugged it into?
What did you watch? I plugged into a WDTV live media streamer because I didn't want to plug in a big Lure player. My entertainment center wasn't set up then.
Okay.
And I watched Toy Story 3.
Ah.
In high def?
In high def.
How did it look?
1080p. It looked amazing.
I always feel that if you really want to show off HDTV, CG animation is the best. Put on a Pixar movie. It's always the best way to do it.
It is, but the problem was that motion smoothing was turned on.
Oh my god!
120 hertz. By default,
the soap opera effect,
and it was the complete soap opera effect. Which for live video, it makes it look like something out of British television or soap opera,
or like All My Children or something. Yeah,
exactly. But for CG, it makes it look more CG, more like a game cinematic or something that's on someone's computer screen, like a Maya animation.
And that's bad as a cinematic experience.
It's terrible.
Also bad.
Terrible. And I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. And on Samsung TVs, it's motion judder. You got to turn off
Interesting.
They all have proprietary names like Cinema Smooth or...
For us, it's just Blur Reduction or something, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, on my one, it wasn't even on out of the box.
Well, it depends on which preset you're on.
I was on THX.
THX turns it off. If you put it on Cinema, it turns it on, which is Dolby.
Okay.
So we talked about this last week and...
The burn-in.
I was a big advocate. Not of the burn-in, the break-in.
Okay. Break-in period.
Burn-in. To prevent burn-in.
Yes, or prevent image retention.
Which is like burn-in, but a temporary version
of
it.
Burn-in is a little more permanent.
Okay.
So we talked about this last week. ABS Forum guys recommend 100-plus hours of break-in.
Running those colored slideshows.
And just to recap,
colored slideshow.
I think I came in that was crazy town.
Yeah.
And Gary thought it was a good idea, but kind of didn't care enough to do it.
What happened was you had good intentions. I'm very neurotic about it, and in the days leading up to the TV arriving,
because it's a big purchase.
Yeah, I mean, you spend a lot of money on it, and you're going to live with it for the next few years, and I'll probably spend the majority of my waking hours in front of it because that's how I roll.
You got to rest your eyeballs on that thing all day long. You got to get your money worth.
You want to get it right, and you know you get nervous about doing something wrong. So I spent a lot of time in the days leading up to the TV arriving, reading about these slideshows and downloading them, and fretting about what the best thing to do was, and then. I got the thing out of the box, and the picture was so fantastic. I did some other reading about, you know, other ways to approach it. And so I kind of found a middle ground, which, again, is to leave the TV on a lot just to kind of get through those initial 100 hours and let the phosphors burn off or age or whatever it is that they're supposed to do.
Age the phosphor, the plasma.
Action. You want it phosphor action.
I got to keep those phosphors busy.
Yeah.
And so I think we talked about this last week. Just put it on HBO, which is, you know, you want to avoid black bars more than that. Black bars and static imagery. So... you know, network logos and things that don't move are bad, and black bars are bad. So I just put it on HBO because, you know, very thoughtfully, they don't put HBO logos up.
They're all about the movie at HBO.
Yeah, they don't have the bug over the movie or anything like that.
Right.
And they don't have black bars. They always expand the movie to fill out. So
coming up next, Boardwalk Empire.
I think I was a little more committed than you were.
I mean, I'm surprised to hear that
I was very committed to make optimal picture quality.
You were going to run the slideshow.
I downloaded the slideshow ISO file. I put it, you know, unpacked it.
Uh-huh.
The TS video folder was on a USB key.
Okay.
And I loaded it. I mean, first thing, obviously, I wanted to play Toy Story just to see what the image quality is like.
Right.
Watched it through once, loved it, but wanted to get the pixels ready and break them in. Load up the slideshow. 3 minutes in, I said, fuck it, I can't do this. Because you realize 100 hours is 4 days. 4+ days.
Yeah, but
nonstop.
You could just leave it when you're not there or overnight and burn off the hours that way.
If I'm not going to have the slideshow for 4 days straight, why bother? So I think I just have Toy Story running on a loop right now.
Oh, you do?
Toy Story running on a loop.
Like right now?
Right now, running on a loop.
So you're basically doing what I'm doing, which is just running.
Yeah, because I don't have cable set up in the house yet, so I just have Toy Story.
Right.
Full screen, vivid colors, and. The thing is, you don't do calibration until after the 100
That's
plus
right.
Hours.
You can't do the calibration right away.
So I'm going to wait till that, and this weekend I will calibrate.
And again, as has been pointed out, the slideshows are not even meant to be for burn-in prevention, but simply to give you the best results when you do calibrate.
Mm-hmm.
We talked, Will, in the week about maybe in the new year tested doing a kind of a self-calibration
thing,
guide.
Yeah.
And maybe even doing a video of what it looks like when you have a professional come to your house and calibrate your TV.
I don't think that's a terrible idea. I mean, actually, post in the comments. Let us know what you guys think. Is spending $300 on like a pro calibration something you guys think is insane or something you'd be interested in learning more about to see if you can actually get more? I mean, my feeling on that stuff has always been that unless you have like a perfect room – I've said this like 6 times. I feel like I'm repeating the shit out of myself, but – unless you have the perfect room, the light's always the same and all that, then the variances in like morning light, afternoon light, evening light, dark are going to be bad enough that right. you'll not notice a difference on the calibration stuff. Right. But I could be wrong.
My prediction is that even if you do have the perfect room, if you calibrate yourself using, you know, being educated and reading forums and getting some recommended calibration tips,
yeah.
if you calibrate yourself,
you can get close.
And then you pay someone else $300 to do it, you will definitely say you see a difference because you paid someone $300.
Again, it's the psychosomatic effect.
If you brought someone in, a friend, to check it out before and after, they will not be able to tell a difference at all.
We can test that, because what we'll do is we'll get them to calibrate your TV. I'll look at it before. I'll look at it after.
But then you won't – also the thing is you won't remember. I mean, the only real way to test it is you had two of the same TVs next to each
other.
Gary,
you need to bring your TV down to my house.
I'll bring it – yeah, of course.
Right.
What I would like to see, I definitely think I'd be interested in a video of like a self-calibrate, using one of these DVDs to calibrate the TV yourself. I noticed, you know, because Home Video Essentials is something that's been in the market for a long time, and I noticed, I was surprised to see that Disney has their own Blu-ray calibration.
Goofy said it's a tactical.
It's paw-tastic?
Paw-tastic or easy enough. It's awesome.
I mean, I'm kind of feeling like if it's a Disney product, it's got to be aimed at the mainstream consumer, right? And probably, so I can probably figure it out.
Well, it's probably an extension of those.
Well, make sure your gamma is correct. Whatever it is that he does.
Jesus Christ. I didn't expect that at all. I'm going to go ahead and I'm impressed.
I kind of wish I hadn't done
that. That was good. No.
It's even better that you're wearing this monkey suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Monkey suit?
Well, it's...
This is as close to a monkey suit as you
get. I think you have to be wearing a tie for it to be a monkey suit and a jacket.
I assume you had a tie on under there.
That's the Norm's fashion standards are that anything above a t-shirt is instantly a monkey suit.
Norm is a big proponent of Formal Friday. He's been known to wear a tie at the office.
Really? Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. You're never here on Friday.
But self-calibration, maybe worth
it. Sounds
doing.
A little filthy when
it's
put
hard,
it that way.
It's hard also to quantify image quality. Like, is it worth $300?
Well, this is like what I did when I went through the AVS form settings and I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I flipped it from my custom settings over the THX thing. I was like, you know, I think the THX one that it comes with looks better.
I went into THX and I changed the color temperature because the warm 2 setting is a little warm. And I'm happy with it. But the thing is, I think they prey on your insecurity that it may look great, but maybe it could look much better.
It's not perfect.
How do you know?
Your subjective taste is wrong.
You could be only getting 75% out of your TV right now.
That's right.
Maybe
exactly.
That professional dude will get you over the top.
The people who do have that set up, they're the ones who don't turn 720p to 1080p.
I do find it very funny that you were the most – that Norm was the most hardcore about – calibrating his TV and running the slides.
Well, that's what happens.
And then he just ended up watching
the
Toy
thing
Story.
The thing is, when you just have the idea of the TV and not actually the TV, it's really easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to run through all the calibration stuff. I'm going to be real disciplined and do all this thing. And then the moment the TV hits your house, you're like, oh, my God, I got to open the TV and I want to see Toy Story.
You were really the most laid back. Even before you got your TV, you weren't doing any of the fretting that me and Norm are doing about slides and all this nonsense. You were just like, hey, it's a TV.
Here's the thing I've learned over the years is that the time to do the fretting is before you make the purchase.
Right.
Like, do the fretting, figure out which one's best, you know, go in with a couple of different options, be prepared to change your mind, but worry about the purchase. Don't worry about the shit after the purchase. Obviously, don't do something stupid. Don't drop it in a bucket of water or anything like that. Don't drop it as you come into the house. But enjoy the thing once you buy it. And if I let myself get neurotic about that stuff, then I won't be able to enjoy it and I'll feel guilty and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
How are you feeling about the 3D? Are you getting much use out of that?
Well, so it's interesting because I've been doing – like I've played now I played all of Cod Blops. Most of Enslaved, which are kind of the two – high-profile, non-downloadable 3D games. I played Wipeout, of course, which I've had for a long time.
How does that look in 3D?
Wipeout is the one huge success story, right? Wipeout is awesome because you can see the shit coming. You can judge distances a lot better.
Now, I bought Wipeout HD a while ago. Am I going to get some kind of free 3D update?
Just download the title update and you can flip it on.
Great.
There's a lot of other kind of PlayStation Network games, not a ton that are really any good. Auditorium, there's some kind of neat puzzle games and some stacking games and shit like that, but nothing really worth seeking out. The takeaway, I'm still waiting. I've tested Xbox and PS3 with both of these games. My wife's out of town this week, so it's dude central over at my house. So the first thing I did when she left was I took my PC, unhooked it from my monitor in the office, put an NVIDIA card in and drug it into the living room to hook that up so I could try, cause they support HDMI 1.4. For 3D TV, for 3D gaming now.
Yeah, do you need a special video card for this?
You have to have an NVIDIA card.
Okay.
Well, ATI cards will also do
not.
It's not the same though.
But they won't do. They required. They don't do the HDMI 1.4 native kind of 3D that I'm aware of.
The new cards.
I think
the new cards will.
Oh really?
I don't think you have a new card though.
I have a 5870 or something.
You don't have them.
So the NVIDIA card just has an HDMI out that goes straight to your TV, right?
It has a mini HDMI out.
Mini HDMI.
But you can use a DVI to HDMI adapter. It carries audio in the whole nine. Yeah. So that part worked great. I plugged the HDMI thing in. I had to change the aspect ratio to get the overscan stuff right on the TV, but that was just like flipping one switch and then everything lined up right.
Yeah.
The larger problem, though, is that in order to use the 3D glasses that came with my TV on the Panasonic with the PC hooked up, I either need a special piece of software from NVIDIA that's not available until after the new year, or I need...
You have to pay for that software.
Yeah, $40 is the price. Or I have to have the 3D Vision USB thing that comes with their glasses, so I'd have had to bought it. Like if I bought a kit or something before.
Oh, I see. Yet another proprietary set of glasses.
Well, but you don't have to use... This is the fucked up thing, is when you plug that USB thing in, you don't have to use their glasses for it to work. You can use your glasses that came with the TV. This is my understanding. I don't have the thing. They're sending
really?
It over.
Wow.
Yeah, you can use their glasses. You just need that dongle to unlock the technology.
Fuck me.
Which is – I mean, here's the interesting thing about this is that they have like 450 titles on the compatible list.
There's actually a lot more 3D gaming on the PC.
Well, when you look at like two disc-based titles and maybe a half dozen, you know, downloadable PSN network titles, PlayStation network titles – versus pretty much every AAA PC game that came out in the last couple of years, including like StarCraft and Civ 5 and Fallout and, you know, all the multi-platform titles, Assassin's Creed 2 and all that stuff. That all works on the PC with NVIDIA.
Do the developers of the PC version build the 3D support into the game?
It's on drivers.
Well, so there's a small list of people like of games like Mirror's Edge and Arkham Asylum and stuff like that that have like integrated support.
Okay.
And Metro 2033 and all that. Yeah, like they have actually gone out and said, hey, we're testing this. The rest of it is stuff that NVIDIA's DevRel team either went out to them and helped them do it, or they like worked in drivers or whatever to make the whole thing work. And I mean, that's really super compelling to me because I can drag a gamepad and a PC into the living room. The way my house works, I think I can just run a mini HDMI cable through the wall, like through the Ethernet, you know, because my Ethernet jacks in the living room and the office line up in the same place. So I can just pop the unused cover off there and run the cable through
that.
And then have like PC gaming in my living room with a wireless gamepad and be awesome because the sound comes over the HDMI too.
Now, let me ask you this. The majority of PC gamers are going to be playing on a monitor. Would I need to buy a whole new monitor, or would my existing monitor be 3D compatible?
No, that's the problem. You need a 120 hertz monitor. No monitors are 120 hertz,
then what's the point?
Wait, no. There are some monitors at 120 hertz.
Well, okay. The monitors you already have will not be 120 hertz.
So I need maybe my PC hooked up either to a 3D TV.
Uh-huh.
Or I've got to get a whole new kind of monitor.
Yeah, and there are maybe like five or six of those monitors.
No, there's more than that now, but they're all kind of expensive because they're specialty
20
monitors.
Inch or 23 inch at most.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of more PC gaming, more 3D gaming choice on PC, but it's even harder to get into it.
Well, and the $40 thing offends me.
See, this to me is everything
level.
That's fucking wrong about PC gaming. Like you, the 3D gaming on console, like right now, there's not a lot of choice because it's very new. But you just pop the disc in and it just works, right? You're playing 3D cod blobs.
Well, kind
on the
of.
PC, you're getting nothing but grief.
Well, hold on the Xbox, it doesn't just work. On the Xbox, the Switch isn't. You know how when you switch to a 3D disc on Blu-ray right now, it's automatic, right?
Right.
With the PlayStation, because the Xbox is only HDMI 1.3, it can't automatically switch over. So that means that you have to say, okay, my TV can talk each one of these three languages, either side by side or top and bottom.
Mine does all of them.
Well, right. They ours do all of them.
Right.
However, you have to tell the game which one your TV supports, and then you have to manually switch the TV into the appropriate mode.
Right.
And on the Xbox, like all the overlay stuff, like the Xbox dashboard and all that stuff, the one that pops up when you press the Xbox button in a menu.
Yeah.
And even worse, the little thing that says, oh, hey, you know, Gary's online or Norm's online is all fucked up. It shows up in the wrong place.
Okay.
So the Xbox is not a good – and also the Xbox is really doesn't have the horsepower to do 3D
This
games.
Is one of those areas where PlayStation's probably going to make more of an effort because Sony is more invested in 3D technology than Microsoft is.
And they have more
– TVs.
They have more power. I mean, it's a more powerful console,
right?
Arguably. You can – I mean, that's a – I don't want to get into the PlayStation slamming again, but this is a place where Sony excels. The 3D on the PlayStation is significantly better. You know, it just works.
Right.
However, even the PlayStation has some frame rate issues in games like COD Blobs and Enslaved. And I would never want to play multiplayer because you're handicapping yourself in a big way with the glasses in multiplayer.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that the takeaway from all this, and I'm going to write it up for posting probably next week while I'm traveling. But the takeaway is that, well, PC is an unknown because I haven't gotten to try that. Xbox is probably a novelty that you'll try once and not actually use because you lose a lot of resolution. It's not a good experience. Mm-hmm. PlayStation is okay for single player stuff, but not awesome for multiplayer. And I really think that this is the anti-aliasing of the next generation consoles. Mm. When Sony and Microsoft roll out next, or at least when Sony does, I don't know what Microsoft's going to do, but when Sony rolls out next generation consoles, I guarantee you that part of the PlayStation 4 is that everything, all the games will support 3D.
Right.
Out of the box. And I bet they're betting on the fact that
most people will have 3D TVs. You're saying it's the HDTV.
It's the HDTV / anti-aliasing. It's going to be a required feature in the next-gen consoles.
I tell you what I am excited about is you see they're re-releasing Ico and Shadow of the Colossus in HD mm-hmm. for PlayStation with full 3D support. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah. I bought the Mario pack yesterday. Yeah, I got that Shadow game yesterday.
I heard they did a very poor job on that Mario All-Stars.
I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
I was pissed because it came in a box that could have held a weed eater. And it was like a game, you know, just a normal size game.
I got a package from Amazon the other day and it was massive. And when I broke it all down, it was a fucking cable from Monoprice.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Ico.
You got a package from Amazon. That was big. It turned out to be a cable from
Monoprice. It was a tiny little cable. It wasn't even a cable. It was an adapter.
It's because it's easier for them to pack.
I guess
fast.
It just seems environmentally like.
Don't
a
you want it faster,
material.
Gary?
I always want it faster. Anyway.
That's what she said.
No.
Are we at a point in TV Quest now where we can start to wind this down?
I think we should not talk about TV Quest anymore.
We all seem pretty happy with our purchases.
No, we're going to discover new things in 2011 about
Norm
TV.
Got a nice cabinet. No, you got a nice unit to put it on.
Fantastic cabinet.
Nice stand that he found.
Yeah, it might have been the last one. We were talking about TV stands online last week.
Yeah.
And I think you found
on the
one.
Twitters?
No, it's on the IMs and on the Twitters.
Yep.
You found a site online because the nice wooden cabinets, you don't want to go to IKEA for a TV cabinet.
Well, that's what mine's on right now.
Yeah,
like I said,
it's not very solid.
Yeah.
So the nice ones are $1,500.
They're right? Really nice. Really,
well, those are made of real wood.
Real wood. Yeah. None of this foam, you know.
Well,
the wood core.
That's not shortchange IKEA too much. Mine is actually made of real wood.
Well, there is real wood in yours.
But
there are bits of real wood.
Yes.
It's like a McDonald's.
I'm talking about it. What once was one piece of tree.
Yes,
what was
the top of my cabinet and the walls and the sides are all solid pine. And then other pieces are...
Are you sure? Does the grain match up on both sides?
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
Okay.
Does the grain match up on both sides?
Well, that's how you tell, man.
But, you know, again, I'm still kind of living dangerously, exceeding the maximum stated load of this thing.
Hey, man. So you can get a custom cabinet for $1,500.
You could go that way.
I've had my center channel, which weighs 32 pounds, on a shelf that's rated for 27 for the last 3 years. Yeah. It's fine. You got to just live on the edge, man. And of course, now I have a $3,000 TV underneath that, so I might actually change the shelf when I think about it.
When Norm and I were comparing notes on cabinets, I did find another one that I recommended to him that looked great, but then we found out it wasn't ideal for holding a center channel.
Right, you saw his website,
the Simple TV Stand store, and they actually have some good products.
Yeah.
But this one that we both liked the look of then turned out to not be, ironically, the center channel space. Because you know, these dedicated cabinets are cut to fit the components properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weirdly, wasn't in any way appropriate for most center channel.
I don't think the center channel putting the center channel in a container is a good idea.
No, it's fine.
I think as long as it's facing
out. I'm not worried
out,
about heat or whatever.
You
I think
want,
it's
no,
going
no,
to
no.
make weird
it,
echoes.
The sound is... Well, if it was all the way back,
all the way to, yeah, you don't put it all the way back. It's all the way to the front.
It's flush with the front, then it's not a problem.
My center channel is really fucking big, though.
Yeah, a lot of people... Yeah. I think average is like 22, 24 inches wide for a center channel. But those are like $350.
Wow. Yeah. And then Norm got something that was like kind of in the middle, I think.
I went to a store and I got this one.
Oh, that looks good. So you posted this.
$550 and I measured it. It was important. I went on the Amazons and found out how wide my center channel is. And
Did you ask the guy how much weight it could?
I did. They didn't know.
Ah.
So they didn't know. I sat on it and it was fine. It didn't break. So if it can hold my weight, it can hold the TV.
Well, my next thing, I want to, you know, I've been looking at rear channels because I don't have rear channels. I ran the wires and then I decided not to hang up the rear channels. And by I mean my wife said those are too big to go in this little tiny room that's our living room.
Yeah.
Well, you want them on the ceiling.
I wanted them on the ceiling. So I ran the wires up through the attic.
Yeah.
So the wires are there, But what I'm thinking is I might try out one of those Yamaha soundbars, the thing with like the 45 little speakers. Because I have a square room.
The
projector.
You won't do that.
No, there's two different kinds. There's the Polk one, which is fake and bullshit. I tested that at MaxPC. But I reviewed one of the Yamaha ones at MaxPC. It was really good.
Do they really work?
You have to have the right shape room. Mm. Like if your room's not square and if it's too, like your room might be too long.
Room is pretty long because that's a back dining area.
But my room's short and it's square, which makes it a potential.
But there's also more bouncy space on the right side of your room.
There is a lot of bouncy space.
Than the left side of your room.
But I think I can put the subwoofer over there and that'll take care of that. Because then that'll work like a bass chamber.
Are you sure you can't convince Gina to let you do the rear?
Well, I can, but if I'm going to spend a couple hundred bucks on rear channels, I might as well just spend $1,000 and get the soundbar thing.
You're spending $1,000 on rear channels?
No.
Ridiculous.
No. I'm saying if I spend a couple hundred. I mean, the thing is, in order to get something that sounds good, that's the size I want, because I don't want a huge fucking speaker.
For back channel, for the rear channel, you want like bookshelf size speakers. Like
mine are all the same. My front channel and my rear channel are all identical.
No,
all,
you don't want that.
They're all about
that's okay.
8 inches tall. They're not.
Yeah. Well, you need bigger front speakers.
You need bigger. That's the thing. You need.
Well, I think what you basically need is a bigger. I think you need a big center channel.
You need a nice. You need a good center channel that has very good mid. Midtones, and then for your front speakers, you want really wide range.
Yeah.
Because most of your sound's going to come from that.
Yeah.
Like that's where music and explosions and shit like that come from. Center is almost all voice.
But that's why you want a good center channel, because I notice it in so many movies, the way that the sound is mixed, you turn the sound up because you can't hear the dialogue, and then when somebody explodes, you close your ears.
And the rear channel is much less important. So I think you don't want to spend more than like $100 per speaker.
No, I think I'm going to be upgrading maybe to a better center channel and some good freestanding front stereo speakers.
A lot of it also depends on your receiver.
Maybe I'll call Yamaha and get them to send the soundbar. We'll just test it. We'll get a test.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It would be an expensive
mistake. If it's $1,000, I mean, it must have something going
on. Well, I mean, I'd buy it someplace I can return it. So it's neat, though. The way it works is it uses Navy sonar technology. Basically, you put this little microphone on a mic stand in the middle of the room where you want to sit.
Yeah.
And then it like uses echolocation to build a map of your room.
Right.
And bounces sound off of the corners to get rear channels. And it's crazy.
My receiver
and
does you hook that a sub when you set it up. You put a little microphone where you would sit and it shoots sound out of all the speakers.
Is there a little bit of a delay if you do it that way? The sound?
Not that I'm aware of. When I tested it, didn't have a delay. Right. I mean, the thing is, it has like 40 or 50 microphone speakers on the front, little tiny ones.
Yeah.
And it uses the difference in time to kind of aim the sound.
Right.
So it like, you know, if you look at the way the speakers fire, they move in a wave. If it's firing to the back right, then it starts on the far side and works its way over a little bit and you get.
It sounds like there's science behind this.
There's hardcore scary science. We did a white paper on it.
Science.
So yeah, let's see. That's what I've been doing with 3D stuff. Have you watched any 3D stuff since then? I bought Despicable Me 3D so I could watch that.
We've got some Avatar 3D I looked at. I've got
should sell it on eBay.
Yeah, sell it on eBay right now. Rip it and sell it
on
eBay.
But then I can't watch it again until 2012.
That's why you want to sell on eBay as soon as possible.
No, demand's only going to go up.
No, demand's not going to go up. More people are buying Panasonic TVs.
What are those?
Here's the story. Panasonic has an exclusive.
We talked about this last week.
On Avatar, and the news just came out this week that the exclusive will last to 2012.
That's right.
So through 2012.
But you can get the Amazon, you can get the Avatar, the Panasonic pack that has two pairs of the newer style glasses, which are the better ones, and Avatar for like $275.
Well, the thing is, if you bought the TV between March and November 30th, you can just send in a receipt and a coupon, and they'll send you the movie for free.
You're going to get the movie, though. What I'm saying is for the $250, you can get the two pairs of the better quality glasses, and they'll throw in the movie.
Yeah, but the glasses are only $100 each, and it comes with
one. No, they're $175 each normally. And the TV ships with the older style, which are not as good.
Oh.
The one without comes with the upgrade,
the lower rim.
No, the TV – mine have the nose bridge. Two nose bridges.
No, but the one that you have has the glasses kind of feel like they're kind of separated from the rim.
They do float. Only,
yes. The newer ones don't. They let light bleed in from the sides. The newer ones don't do that.
I only watch 3D shit in the dark.
Okay. Well, but you're still going to get light bleeding in from the TV.
That's true.
There's a bunch of people complaining about this. This is why Panasonic rejiggered them and made them new. But I don't think I would get that much for it.
It was going for like $400 the other day.
$150 right now.
Exactly. That's not. I'd rather just keep it.
That's true. 400, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, but for 400, again, for 275, you can get the whole pack on Amazon, which comes with two pairs of glasses. So you'd have to be an idiot.
People are fools.
We've got Christmas Carol 3D, which is what Norm and I demoed in the Best Buy when we're at the
snow is in your face.
The snowflakes were fluttering in my face.
Does that make that movie any better, or is it still terrible?
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know how good or bad it is.
Okay.
But at least it'll be terrible in 3D.
Enjoy.
in three dimensions.
I bought a spaghetti Cotti with a Chance of Meatballs, which was charming.
Right.
Notice it's mostly animated.
Well, it's because that's free. They just render two frames, two sides.
Yeah, it's easy to do. And I wanted Comcast actually has a fairly decent selection of 3D programming. Like I said, they've got that 3D Christmas Yule log, which is very nice.
You've been trying to sell that Yule log.
There's nothing more traditional than sitting around the TV.
I'm going to go back and watch
your 3D
Yule
glasses
log.
On as a family, watching the Yule log in 3D.
After everyone opens presents, everyone puts on their 3D glasses.
And you know what the fucked up thing is? I have a real fireplace in my house. I could spend $4 on fucking wood and just burn that. And that would be in 3D as well.
So tonight,
and actually give off warmth and be real.
Tonight when I go home and Chloe and I are sitting on the couch, I'm going to turn on the Comcast 3D Yule log and think of you, Gary.
You should turn on that psychedelic one.
I'm going to put it on, I'm going to put the glasses on Chloe and see what she says.
And then her mind will be blown.
She's not going to like it. Man. I can tell you right now. She's going to say woof.
But the Comcast has some good choices. I watched a documentary about the sun that was narrated by Al Roker.
You're not supposed to stare directly in the sun.
Well, it was just, but it
you
was
go
just,
blind.
It was just a 3D CG image of the sun. It wasn't real. I wouldn't look directly into the
you're
sun.
Recreating sunshine when crazy guy stands in front of that window and he goes, increase brightness by 0.01%. And it goes, whoosh.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
As if my TV could give me a sunburn. Okay.
Like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters.
Exactly. I have no idea what you're talking about now.
You've not seen Close Encounters of the Third
Kind? I have, but not since I was like 12.
When the spaceship flies over, it's so bright he gets a sunburn.
All I remember about that movie is I thought it was really boring. I probably should go back and rewatch it.
You should probably go back and rewatch it. Yeah. You can get a good deal on the Blu-ray.
So I'm back.
So
on
TV
the
Quest, are we?
I think we're done with the
maybe hiatus.
I think we're ready to move on.
Yeah. Hiatus.
Everyone's satisfied.
TV Quest is a success.
I think people are more than satisfied.
Okay.
I think.
I like how thin my TV is.
Yes. I think people have heard enough. Again, though, can we just one more? Does it matter once it's situated? Unless you're going to be staring at it from the side.
Well,
who cares?
Also the mounting thing, and I'm going back and forth now between whether I want to mount it or not mount it.
I think it looked good where it was.
Because once it's on TV, so I'm like. Do I really want to drill holes in the wall?
Let me tell you, if you hang that fucker on the wall and you need to change cables or something, it is going to be an incredible pain.
No, cables are no problem because my cables are on the side and it's the amount I have is 3 inches from the wall.
But still, then you got to run cables through.
That's the thing, you got to run cables through the wall.
Okay, this is 3 inches. Can you get your hand with some cable back there?
Fuck yeah, I can.
Oh, dainty hands.
Is that how you do 3 inches? You put your thumbs together like that?
No, I just know how big 3 inches is.
I bet you do.
That's
a special return for this one.
God damn it, Witta.
The other
one week.
So it's debating between the hassle of putting it on the wall, but then I get extra space on top of the TV stand to put, you know, statues and DVDs and whatever.
Put your various tchotchkes up there.
Or it's putting it on the TV stand. I don't know. I haven't decided.
Don't take him out of the package.
I haven't decided.
It's Steve Austin's boss.
I'm getting my cable set up this Sunday. Just got a phone call from Jimmy.
Jimmy the cable guy?
Jimmy from Comcast.
I'm gonna remind you.
Hook me up with some fantastic deals.
How does this work? So when I want cable service, I call Comcast. You didn't call Comcast.
I didn't call Comcast.
You just called some guy.
I called Jimmy.
Norm has a secret net.
How did you find this guy?
From the internet.
How do you know that he's not just running cable off like fucking next door's hookup? Because
his voicemail says he's from Jimmy from Comcast.
Oh, well, if he says he's from Comcast, then it's all legit, right?
So I called Comcast. I don't know if I talked about this last week. I don't think I did.
No.
But I called Comcast to check out what the rates are.
Yeah.
Because I was considering not getting cable because cable's expensive. But also I'm getting a big TV, so I want to have content on there.
Yep.
And I need internet. I wanted a good speed. Comcast is so fucked up. They're tiered pricing. I mean, they try to sell you
on. It's unbelievably confusing.
It's not only confusing, but it's a huge ripoff, right? Because Xfinity, the triple play, which is what all the billboards were, $99 a month, you get the basic cable stuff.
It's like 6 megabits a second. It's slow.
It's 10 megabits a second.
It's 10 megabits with speed boost.
With speed, that's the thing.
Which is really 6 megabits.
Speed boost gives you up to 10 megabits for the first like 2 megs of download.
Oh my God.
So your BitTorrent downloads are sped up.
What they don't tell you is if you have something that takes 10 minutes to download, it creeps down to DSL speed after about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it trails off. And then you only get the basic 60 channel thing for cable. So you get the AMC, no HBO, no HD.
Yeah.
You got to rent the modem and you get their telephone service, which no one really wants because everyone has cell phones.
Have you checked to see if your phone works in your house?
Well, it's all new wires.
So no, your cell phone.
Oh, cell phone works in my house. It's okay. Fine. I get perfect 5 bars 3G. So I called Comcast and they give me the best offer. I don't want to fuck around. Just give me what you can, the best offer.
Do what you can. I'm not committed.
And my priorities. And I'm willing to pay for cable because I'm interested in getting cable. But my priorities are high speed internet. I want – give me DOCSIS 3 if you have it. I want 50 megabits if you have it. I'll take less. And I talked to Lloyd Case, one of our writers, about this. He gets 50 megabits, but he pays like $120 a month.
Yeah, you can get it, but it's you got to pay.
Just for the internet.
Yeah. Right. Big money.
Long story short, the guy in the call center, useless, completely useless.
Well, they can't do anything.
They can't do anything. I want to talk to your manager. I'm willing to sign a long contract.
You know what happens when they say, when you say, I want to talk to your manager, they hang up, put you on hold for like 3 minutes, and they come back and they, hello, I am your manager. It's a different voice. It's the same guy, different voice. This is Bob.
So on the internet,
Bob.
On deal sites,
yeah.
I found Jimmy. And Jimmy
is he a deal maker?
He definitely got me a deal. He is a door-to-door Comcast salesman.
Jimmy wants to get you in the door.
So what, is he like an independent contractor?
Independent contractor,
okay.
Goes door-to-door like and puts up flyers. Trying to get people who have AT&T and DirecTV and Dish to switch over.
You think he just drives around looking for satellite dishes?
Exactly what he does.
Interesting.
Looking for – and he has – and because door-to-door sales is so hard,
yeah.
Especially when he's trying to convert people,
yeah.
He has the best deals. Comcast gives him the best deals because they're getting not people who already would want Comcast, but people who don't necessarily – who have something better or something different.
I hate Comcast.
Already.
Can he come give me a better deal?
No, but you have Comcast, or you're already paying.
That's the thing. We're already on the hook.
You're already on the hook.
To incentivize
I'll cancel it in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, go get DirecTV and then
you
know,
if you change it over to Gina's, someone else's name, then you can do it.
Yeah. I mean,
because I think I get a shitty deal from Comcast. I pay a lot, and I think I get the internet service is good. I've got no complaints about my internet speeds, and cable's good, and I do have digital voice because, you know, I don't trust my cell phone at home.
But how much are you paying?
It's too much.
Yeah. See, I got the deal.
Yeah, I looked at my bill the other day, and I was fucking horrified.
It's all about the add-ons. Like, they ask you, you know, how many TVs you have. You have more than one TV? You're going to need more than one cable box.
I know. I got
another $8 a month.
Yeah. I took $30 a month worth of cable boxes and cable cards and shit back the other day.
Yeah,
that was liberating. Cable modem.
I got to get on the phone with them and see how I can get my prices down because I think there are channels I don't need and other things I don't need.
I mean, the thing is they charge $20 a month for HBO. For $240 a year, I can buy everything that I want.
Pretty much buy every box that you want.
$20 a month for HBO?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's why we're killing HBO.
Yeah.
Because I'll just buy the fucking Pacific instead of – and then I don't have to watch – then I don't have to watch it at a specific time.
Exactly. So if you're in the Bay Area, I recommend that you call Jimmy because I'll tell you my deal. 20 megabit down for internet.
Is that with speed boost or without?
I think it's with speed boost, okay. But it's rated 15.
So it's really like 12 or 15.
15,
yeah.
But 20 with the speed boost. I'm fine with 15 megabits down.
You think you are, but you're not going to be.
Well, I'm on 10.
Call Jimmy.
Right now.
Maybe I'll call Jimmy.
20 megabits down. I get the premium – cable service with 220 channels and HBO and Stars. And I got their phone line, which I don't really care about, but sure, I'll take it. $90 a month.
For a year.
For 2 years. Second year goes up to 110.
Wow.
That's a good deal.
That is a fucking smoking
deal.
That's
a much better deal than I get.
And then I got my friend to do the same thing, and then Jimmy's hooking me up with a $25 gift certificate.
Holy shit.
Rebate.
Do you have to have, like, does Jimmy come to the house? Do you have to have uncomfortable conversations?
Talk to him on the phone.
Can you just email Jimmy? I don't like talking to people.
Talk to him on the phone. We got a phone call back. All set up. Comcast coming this Sunday.
I'll talk to Jimmy to save that kind of money.
Yeah. If I refer you, can I get the $25 gift certificate?
Yeah, we'll split it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Good deal.
So Jimmy, how do you find Jimmy?
You go hang out
down by the docks after 11 o'clock.
Yeah, you got to go to get those guys standing outside Home Depot or Sherwin Williams. Jimmy,
you got to know the.
Let's see, Norm, you reviewed the Galaxy Tab this week.
That was last week.
The review just got posted.
Yeah, review came out. I did give you the long story short last week, but I'll reiterate: don't buy it.
Moving on.
I'm so surprised. A million people have bought the Galaxy Tab, and it's. I think it's sold a million. I'm not sure. No, probably not as fast as the iPad, but it's definitely very fast.
It's a fast mover.
I was initially confused because I was alerted to that video going up by Anna, tweeted about it. And the way she tweeted was to say, oh, well, contrary to what Steve Jobs says, 7-inch is actually the future of
tablets. Yeah, and then
tablets.
It's a fucking brutal review.
And I'm like, hold on a minute. I thought Norm thought the tab was shit. And then I go on the review, and of course it's shit. But I guess what she was saying was, this tablet is shit, but you can see how 7 inches could still work.
Yes, that's the one promising that came out of that test was 7-inch tablet.
Come on, dude. I think we can only hit the ones that are just begging for it. Oh, no. Merry Christmas to one and all.
So let's see. After I finished the Samsung Focus review, I immediately went crawling back to the warm, loving embrace.
Yes, this pleases me immensely. I knew you'd come back after your.
I think we all knew
your futile dalliances with Android and Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, when there's a Nexus S, AT&T, I'm not making the mistake that I did with it. I still regret not buying a Nexus One for AT&T. I think that was a mistake.
Right,
because that then you like I. The lesson of all of the Android stuff that I've used over the last year is that there is a huge, 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 huge benefit to being on the official Google phone. That means you get the updates fast. You can root it. You know, the fucking Nexus S came out today. It's already rooted. You know, the Cyanogen and all the third-party mods are going to be available for the Google phones.
If you're
going to
go
box.
Android, Nexus S is definitely the phone.
Nexus
to go
S
with right
is
now.
The way to go. Yeah, you don't fuck around with this. Don't get a Captivate. Don't get a Galaxy S. Motorola stuff's okay, I guess. The HTC stuff is pretty good, but it's all about the third-party support unless you're just not ever going to use the phone as a phone.
Well, we're going to see a ton of phones being announced next month, so I would even say hold off.
Man, I bet that hurt when you dropped Windows Phone 7. They probably felt that at Microsoft corporate headquarters, given how many they've sold. They're probably, oh, shit, well, we just lost 8% of our user base.
Here's the thing. I would have kept using the Windows Phone 7 phone, but for the Bluetooth call fade in and out thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you watched the video, but basically when I was connected to any of the Bluetooth stuff, including the thing that's in my car.
What do you have, like a speaker?
Yeah, like a speakerphone in the car.
Yeah.
So when you'd be on that, the person you were talking to could hear you fine, but the volume that you would hear of them talking would just go up and down, up and down.
And that was just – you don't get down. That on other phones. Just
it doesn't
happen
on other phones. It's just right. This phone. So, I mean, fuck that. I don't have time for a phone that doesn't
now
work.
Now, is that the hardware or the software or what?
Big
you don't care what the problem
Big
is. You just
I just care that it
works.
Doesn't fucking work. Yeah. I mean, this is part of the other thing. The other thing that I have learned this year, and this is a huge lesson. Everybody should fucking pay attention. Listen up. Turn down whatever else you're doing. Listen to Uncle Will here.
Do you imagine that people are listening to other things while
they
listen
to us? I like to think
that
somebody just turned around and yelled at the kids to shut up.
I like to feel like we have their full attention.
Yeah,
they're driving their car and they're like, everyone on the highway.
Yeah, wait, hold on.
Wisdom is coming down here.
Will says this part's going to be important. Everybody shut the fuck up.
Don't buy shit because of how it will be in the future. Buy shit because it's awesome today. It's very simple. Don't invest in platforms because you think that Android is the future or anything like that. Buy the thing that is going to serve you well and make you happy right now. Don't anybody who goes out and buys a BlackBerry at this point because they think RIM is turning it around, is going to release new amazing software next year, you are making a 2-year mistake. You're going to be stuck with a shitty phone that is – I mean, it's great for email people. I know some people really love their BlackBerries. That's fantastic. But RIM is off the rails. If you watch the interview with the CEO at All Things D, where he was talking about their long-term strategy, and it was apparent that he had no fucking long-term strategy.
Yeah, and seeing some stuff like Engadget just wrote an editorial saying that RIM's lost the plot.
Well, Joanna Stern, who's been a huge BlackBerry fan for a long time, basically said, look, there is no fucking mythical RIM smartphone coming. If you like BlackBerry, stick with BlackBerry, but buy it because it's a BlackBerry, not because – you know, in 6 months down the road, RIM is going to release some magical software update that's suddenly going to make it a good phone. Because they're not going to.
Wasn't the Torch supposed to be the
piece of shit? It's the same story, different hardware.
What's the one problem with BlackBerry?
The one problem with BlackBerry is it's not a real smartphone OS. It's the same problem with Symbian.
The OS just sucks.
Yeah, it's rather than doing the thing that Microsoft just did, the brave, hard thing, and saying, okay, we're shit-canning the last 5 years worth of history, and we're going to start from scratch, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be really expensive, and it's going to take us like 2-3 years.
But it's the only way.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah.
RIM has just kept tacking on until, you know, at this point, the thing that they have going for them is email is really good. BlackBerry Messenger is kind of cool if you're into that. But like installing an app requires you to reboot the phone most of the time. I mean, shit like that is inexcusable.
The only thing that's really keeping them going is the fact that they are already just deeply entrenched.
Yeah, they
in
have
the
a
business
huge. Well, the business market share is huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's fairly popular with kind of celebrities too. I mean, BlackBerries are a celebrity.
Well, some people
thing.
Oh,
less
who,
so now. I think well, people want their iPhones.
Definitely
yes.
True now, but
I think a lot of people just don't want apps on their phone. They just want email.
Right.
Messaging.
I mean, if you want an email phone for work, then that's it. If you want to be able to look up like where to go restaurants and how, make OpenTable reservations and look shit up on Yelp, Fucking get an iPhone.
Do you think RIM's going to be able to stop the rot, or is it a matter of time for them?
The playbook is the...
They also bought the Astonishing Tribe design firm that did a bunch of Android stuff.
But the problem is the OS. Isn't the playbook basically on the same kind of OS
I think
as
the
BlackBerry?
Playbook is supposed to be a new OS. It's unclear.
Okay.
At least to me. I don't know if anybody else does. I'm back on iPhone.
How do you feel about being back on iPhone?
A little dirty, but okay.
Are you enjoying the fact that shit is working again and like you don't have any major headaches?
Well, the other big takeaway of this whole year is that basically nothing, all that using all these different phones has done to me is made me not happy with any of them, because you know I want the ability to do internet connection sharing over Wi-Fi that I have with the Android phones. And I want the Zune Player wireless syncing.
You want some mythical phone
the Windows
that combines
phone
all the best parts of all the phones.
I want some sort of giant Griffin Chimera, whatever, super phone. I'm not going to get that. I mean, what it boils down to is the email on iPhone is good. The keyboard is not my favorite, but it's okay. I like the apps. I mean, when we did our apps of the year roundup yesterday, which will be going up, I guess, the week between Christmas and New Year's, or the week... I think we're going to put them up next week and the week after, basically.
You should get an iPhone and a BlackBerry and a Windows phone and an Android phone and throw them all in a box and turn the lights down and put on some Barry White music and see what happens.
I don't think that'll do anything.
And maybe in the morning there'll be a litter of little dream phones.
They'll just get all scratched up. Yeah. Probably. But I mean, the thing is the apps on iPhone are drastic, but wildly superior to the other platforms.
No question.
I mean, the thing that I came down to with a few exceptions on Android that are mostly like system utilities that are used for like fixing shit that's broken in Android, which I think probably shouldn't count as an app of the year candidate.
Yeah.
The best of the apps on those platforms are ports from iOS.
Yeah. And
which is not a good
And the support is just so much better. Like, you know, that Xfinity app that turns your phone into a remote for your TV guide is great. But if I had any other phone, it's only on iPhone.
There's 104. But that'll change. I mean, the thing is iPhone is clearly the lead platform for app development.
Right. I don't want to wait around for when I get my version. I want my version first. Having an iPhone is the best way to make sure that you will get your version of whatever app first.
Well, and the other side of this is it seems like Apple has actually kind of calmed down on the lunacy that they had with seemingly arbitrary App Store deletions and stuff like that. They've posted clear rules.
Yeah, I haven't seen any App Store scandals lately.
Right. I mean, they seem to be sticking to the rules that they laid out. And I mean, I'm not a fan of the walled garden, but as long as the rules of the walled garden are very clear and easy to understand, then I'm okay with it. I mean, it just has to not be capricious. And things like Google Voice coming out, the Google Latitude app came out earlier this week, which is kind of cool in a stalkery way.
What does that do?
Basically, it tells people, it shows where you are on a little map and all
your
friends. You share your location in real time.
But presumably, I'd have to give you permission for that.
Yeah, you have to give permission.
So you say, I want Will to know where I am at all times.
There you go.
Why would I want that?
I mean, family members.
You and Andy Salisbury can see where each other are at any moment.
Yeah,
is it something we should know?
No, right now, Jeremy's the only other person that's signed up for Latitude that I know. So. Andy and Jeremy are my two Latitude friends.
How do you like that Xfinity app, Norm? You're going to enjoy that, aren't you?
I just downloaded it. I can't wait.
Norm doesn't have a cable box. He's not going to DVR.
I don't know if I'm going to DVR yet.
Oh.
Because I'm deciding between going with Comcast or going with a TiVo.
Oh, get a TiVo.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if I want to pay.
Get a TiVo.
But Comcast, it's $10 a month to rent the box, and I think it's service.
If you want to get a TiVo, I can get. They're doing a friends and family deal for $150 on the cheap Premiere right now.
Big problem with TiVo though is you will not be able to get on demand programming, which is a big bonus.
Is on demand Comcast. Is that free or is that?
It's free.
It's free.
Comes with you. Well, yeah, but if you miss an episode of Boardwalk Empire, you can just go onto On Demand and catch
it there
live.
But if you're not paying for it,
unless it's changed, the way you want to go, which is TiVo and a cable card in the back, you cannot get On
Demand.
I'll
have to try that because the TiVo is now technically capable of it, whether Comcast supports it or not.
I need to find out because I was actually looking at those TiVo Premiere boxes now. They're really cheap.
Yeah, they're super cheap.
Not the really good, not the XL, which is the one that you really want.
The adding a new hard drive to those is trivial.
That's the problem with TiVo is you're buying a new box every couple of years. You're actually buying the box and you pay for the service still.
Well, you don't have to buy the box. I mean, the boxes last a long time. I used a Series 2 for like 10 years almost.
But with Comcast, if I do Comcast DVR, which I don't have much experience with
It's not very good.
Don't I just pay the service and I rent the box?
I was thinking about...
It's $4 a month for the box because it's just a normal cable box.
So yeah. I rent a cable box for $4 a month and then pay $10 a month.
If you get an HD DVR box...
So it ends up being about the same.
An HD DVR box, which is what you would get in favor of a TiVo, is about $15 a month from Comcast. So you'd be paying $5 a month more for TiVo because their service is $20 a month.
$20 a month for TiVo?
No, yes. It's $15 a month.
No, it's 20.
I'm grandfathered in.
It's 90. Well, what the offer they have now on the TiVo Premier is $99 for the box, and you buy a 1 year contract. You buy a 1 year contract.
This is why I'm hesitant with DVR.
Well, on the website, I think you can actually get the box for free online if you go to the website. But you are going to be paying. You do have to sign a contract.
So they sent me an email the other day with an offer for nothing for $15 a month.
Yeah.
To upgrade my Series 3.
I imagine you can get that.
As long as I sign a 2-year contract.
I was trying to figure out I know it said 45 hours of programming. I don't know how that compares to whatever the hard drive is.
It's a 500 gig hard drive, I think.
Is it just hard drive difference between different series?
That's the only thing that's different. Well, there's only so they only have one model. They have one model. It's the same basic hardware. The thing that changes is the size of the hard drive in the machine.
So lame.
Why is that lame?
I mean, then you really don't need to upgrade. Because how much content is last year's model? I mean, this year's model.
45 hours.
As opposed to?
300.
I've considered.
So the thing is, you can drop a two terabyte hard drive in there. Well, you could drop a 1 terabyte hard drive in there super easily. And you can put a 2 terabyte hard drive in there without a whole lot of hassle. And a 1 terabyte hard drive is $75. Western Digital hard drive is all it is.
What I would love to do is just be able to plug in a USB external hard drive into my cable box DVR, but I'm pretty sure they don't allow that.
You can't do that, but you can do that with TiVo.
I don't think the bandwidth is fast enough.
No, it's fine. It's
also remember that if you want it to
ESAT,
be, if you want it to be Wi-Fi enabled, which you do, you're going to be spending another $100
Norm doesn't
for the
need
adapter.
Wi-Fi enabled. He has Ethernet.
Are you just going to run Ethernet in the back?
I have Ethernet through
every room. That's my big problem right now. I desperately want to get my Ethernet cable downstairs into my living room, and I cannot figure out how to do it without running wire and drilling holes.
You might need to do a power line.
Does that really work?
It works fine.
It totally works.
We can fish. I can teach you how to fish. It's not hard.
What's fishing?
Where you drill from the... Is there a room above the TV room?
Yeah, but I could show you the setup. It would be a hassle. I might look at the... Is power line better than just Wi-Fi N?
Yeah, power
line is better. It's about the same speed as Wi-Fi N, but much more reliable than Wi-Fi. I don't trust wireless for TV stuff.
It's working, but I noticed the Wi-Fi end's working fine, but I noticed when I was watching some Apple TV video the other day that you can see the quality going up and down, scaling the quality of the video as the connection goes up and down.
Right.
That's
the worst thing. You're watching Netflix 720p and then,
I know, and then suddenly it's shitty.
You just bought a Ferrari, Gary, and you're putting fucking low test.
I know. And the wired connection is there. I just got to figure out a way to run the cable. Or get power line. And I want to run the cable, but I just don't know how to do it without cable being visible everywhere, and my girlfriend's never going to stand for that. It's a rented house. I can't go drilling holes all over the fucking place.
Well, you can. Yeah. The thing about rental houses is if you do a nice job and put plates over it and stuff and make it look like it's professionally
done, it's actually
done,
a benefit.
Then they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's only if you have like a fucking hole with a wire.
I think what I might need to do is call like a contractor and say, look, here's the problem. Here's some money. Make this work.
Your ceiling is really high is the significant challenge.
Well,
do you have an attic above the second floor?
No, I could run it outside the house, though, and have it come into the ground.
That's terrible.
I don't trust that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you have a hole. It looks terrible.
Who would know? Can I look in the yellow pages and find a guy?
Go to Home Depot and find one of those dudes standing outside there.
I don't trust Home Depot.
No.
No.
I'm not talking about the dudes outside Home Depot.
No, those are the guys that I don't want because I have no idea how qualified they are. I want to get a guy who's like bonded, you know, and insured and knows what he's doing. But the TiVo thing, I was looking at it just the other day because I was in the Best Buy looking at those cable boxes, and I love TiVo. I was one of the first TiVo adopters. I had a Series 1.
Me too.
And I loved it. I love the interface, and it's very friendly and familiar. But I didn't like the idea of losing the on-demand because I do use the on-demand program quite a lot.
The thing is, you can still keep a cable box in your set.
Yeah, but then it's another box, and it's a pass-through. And it's just a whole – it defeats the
object.
It's
not a good scene.
I'm considering it.
Gary, you also get rid of your TV, your old TV.
I may be offloading it here to our very own Ryan Davis.
Nice.
Maybe what do you mean,
Well, I mean, it's another lemon because if something's wrong with that TV, Ryan's
he's going to hunt you down. Yeah. He knows how to find you.
Technically, he thinks he knows how to find me.
You can't stop doing the fucking podcast just because that TV turns out to be a
piece of shit. I'll just stop coming around because he's
like... No. That's not cool.
You can use that money to get a new receiver.
He's getting a great deal on that TV.
He's getting a smoking deal.
I'm even throwing in a copy of the Book of Eli on Blu-ray for him. I got to get rid of them somehow.
That's magnanimous of you, Gary. Magnanimous. Some signed issues of PC Gamer too.
I'm tripping over them at home. I got to get rid of them somehow.
You fucking made me buy mine. Thanks.
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't make you do anything.
Well, I said, hey, I just ordered my copy of Book of Eli.
I appreciate it, you got to see it in the theater for free.
That's true. I did see it in the theater for free.
You did get to see it for free.
Although I think I ended up buying Gina's ticket because you had already gone in by the time she got there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not my problem.
I know.
Not my fault she showed up late.
Receiver. You keeping your receiver?
I'm going to keep it for now. I'm happy with the setup that I've got. You know, the problem with the receiver was that it won't do a 3D pass-through. So I could upgrade the receiver, which would be an expensive luxury for... to solve a problem that I've basically really got a solution to, which is to run the HDMI directly into the TV and optical sound. And again, unless I'm a serious audiophile or considering getting like a 7.1 sound setup, I'm not going to notice the difference.
How do we end up back on TV Quest?
I don't know. We should move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Google Docs, you've been testing. You tried Google Docs out. Welcome to 2005.
I know. We know it's really, really weird.
Whoa. Let's talk about why you got Google Docs. Let's go one half step back. Half stuff back.
How would Google Docs in any way facilitate porn?
Rule 34.
I'm sure you would know.
Rule 34.
I'm sure you know the answer.
Okay, Norm.
You're using Google Docs now because you have a new platform to use it on.
Yeah, I bought a new laptop. After all the time that we spent saying that the iPad is...
You talked a lot of shit about what you just
invalidated the use of a laptop. But just
to be clear, you talked a lot of shit about that.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us ever said that.
You talked about how on a train... using your iPad 3G, surfing the internet, typing, wonderful. You type screenplays on your iPad.
And I didn't say I typed screenplays on my iPad. Go back. I never said that.
No, he said he couldn't get screenplay software for his iPad.
That's the one thing that I cannot do. Nor would I do extended writing sessions on the iPad. But for just, taking notes or tapping away in a meeting or whatever for a couple of hours, especially with the keyboard attachment, it's great.
Tappa-tappa-tappa.
Tappy-tappy-tap, little tapperoo.
Okay, so in which way did you make Steve Jobs your god even harder this week?
So what happened was when I said it invalidated my laptop. It did. It invalidated the clunky old 3-year-old 15-inch MacBook Pro that I have which weighs a ton, which I've dropped a couple of times and is definitely on its way out.
Okay.
I had to replace the battery on it.
Sure as hell on its way out now.
It's sulking in the corner now, embarrassed.
You're gonna sell that to Brad?
I don't think I could get even $100 for that thing. And I just put a $100 battery in it months ago. Because the battery died. But I've dropped it a few times and it's all buckled.
So you bought a MacBook Air, didn't you, Gary?
I did resist the temptation to get the first generation MacBook Air.
That was good.
Because that was also $1,500.
It looked good, but I didn't need it.
It was expensive.
It was
a
big luxury. And then I looked at the new one, which I liked a lot more, particularly the 11-inch model, because it's so just, tiny and cool.
It's like an iPad with a keyboard.
It basically is, but a lot more functional, as it turns out.
Yeah.
I had avoided looking at them for a long time because I told you if I go to an Apple store and look at one,
go to an Apple store and look at anything for more than 10 minutes.
Holy shit, they have a battery charger. Oh, my God.
Shut up and take my money.
I did buy that.
Shut up and take my money.
I did buy that battery charger. I knew that if I saw it, the reason would go out the window and just the lust would kick in. And I managed to keep that going until ultimately this is your fucking fault, Will, because I walked into the office and you put an 11-inch MacBook in my hands and said, hey, look at the new thing that you said you didn't want to look at.
Just to be clear, I said, oh, hey, we got like 20 minutes before we can start recording. Do you want a laptop or something to fuck around on the internet with? And you're like, oh, okay. And I handed you the MacBook Air and you're like, oh.
Well, that was your way of fucking me over, though. You knew how.
I wasn't trying to be nice with you. I already told you I didn't want to be up close and personal with your 11-inch MacBook. You tricked me.
You went, aha. All I did was give you what you asked for.
This isn't my fault. Don't blame this on me.
Anyway, I love the 11-inch MacBook Air.
What was your declaration?
I stand by this. I said pound for pound, it's the best computer I've ever owned. So I bought the base model. I went to the store and I was looking at it. And I said to the guy, I'd done a bit of research, but I was talking to the Apple guy. And I said, is there any reason why I would need anything more than the base model? He said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to write little text documents. I'm going to do email.
Did you tell him you write screenplays?
No.
Okay.
I don't tell people. People have to pry that information out of me.
Because they're going to think it's not like they're going to think the wrong thing.
Well, it's just annoying. Yeah, it's just annoying. You know, people say, what do you do? And I say, oh, I'm a writer. And they go, oh, what do you write?
You're unemployed,
say,
eh?
Yeah. I go, yeah. What do you write? I go, oh, I write movies. And then they say, oh, have you written anything I might have seen? And for a long time before I had anything produced, I would just say, I don't know. What have you seen? Just to kind of be an asshole. But now, you know, but then I have to say, oh, I wrote this movie. And then they go, oh, I either saw it or I didn't see it. It's just annoying. I just don't want to have those conversations.
He was blind in the end.
Yeah. My sister hated that movie. It's like, yeah, thanks a lot. Whatever. So I said, look, I just want to write simple text documents. I want to do email. I want to do some web browsing and maybe play some YouTube videos because that's all I would use it for.
That's all
I do on my desktop Mac. I play a bit of Warcraft and that's it. And to be fair to the guy, he didn't try to upsell me. He didn't try to Best Buy me. He just said, yeah.
They did the same thing when we bought ours.
Yeah, he said, you're fine with the base model. You're not going to need that.
Anything surprising? What's surprising is how well these are selling. What's surprising is how fast it is.
So I got the base model. I took it home. And I have to say, I fell in love with it almost immediately. Do you want me to recount the ridiculous, embarrassing story that I told you about how I thought it was losing power?
Oh, I don't remember the ridiculous, embarrassing story.
I think you do, and you just want me to tell it again.
What story is that, Gary?
I haven't told Norm this either.
Tell me.
It's so fucking embarrassing.
Tell me now.
So one of the things that I thought was attractive about this new thing was it has this deep sleep mode where, you know, once you close the lid, it goes into hibernation.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it holds power really, really well.
Yes.
You know, for days on end.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's great. That could be very useful. I haven't got to worry about always keeping it plugged in when I'm not using it. And so I set it up the first night. I took it home and I left it plugged in, but I left the lid open and I let it go to sleep on its own. I think, well, it doesn't matter.
You think I'm going to charge it up?
It's charged.
Yeah.
It's fine. So, you know, I leave my office. I go to bed. I wake up in the morning. I come in. I check the MacBook and it's completely dead. The battery is at 0%.
And about probably, what, 30 seconds later, I got an IM.
And it's plugged in.
Oh, yeah, plugged in.
It's plugged in. But it lost charge completely.
Yeah.
And so this is obviously not right.
Yeah.
And the little light on the charge is not on.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm like, oh, this is even the charger or this
the
thing is a lemon.
Light on the charger.
This
on.
One right here, the one that's on, just to be
that
clear.
That one right there that is on. Oh, those new style chargers work on the other MacBooks as well.
The MacBook Air one won't work because it's lower wattage. But if you get the 85-watt
MagSafe. That's the same design, though. They have that new slim
design. The only
thing
that's changed is the connector.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it. It sticks out less.
Yes.
So I got on the phone to Apple support.
I can see. Oh, you Apple support?
Apple? Who would you have called? Fucking Batman?
I would definitely have called Batman.
If I saw the light was not
Batman
on.
Batman probably would have fixed it. I mean, what can't he fix?
Batman would be like, here,
wait. I saw that the light was not on.
Yes.
I would know exactly what's wrong.
If you think about all the technology that Norm's got, that Batman's got in the Batcave,
yes.
He could probably fix any tech support problem. He's not going to come and look at your MacBook and go, oh. What's wrong with it?
Well, I think Alfred's tech support in the Batman relationship.
Okay, so you call
Apple.
Have
you tried turning it on and off again? In his Batman.
Have you tried turning it on and off again?
In his Batman voice.
Have you rebooted? Where is your power supply? Yeah, exactly.
So Norm thinks he knows.
This is only a test.
Norm thinks he knows how this is going to turn out, but he doesn't.
No, no.
Okay, tell me.
It's so bad.
There's a twist.
All right, I want to hear
there's
the twist.
There's a twist
like
at the end
Inception.
Where basically I end up being much more stupid than you.
The top never stops spinning.
Continue. Okay, so I call Apple support, and they go, and I explain the problem, and they said, I've never heard of that. And he said, is it charging now? And I said, it is now, and it's almost fully recharged, but I don't understand how it lost power overnight when it was asleep. Even when it was plugged in, I mean, there's no way it should be losing power. And he said, I'm baffled by this. He goes, blah, blah, blah. Try and recreate the conditions tomorrow and see if it happens again. I said, okay. So I tried it again next morning. I leave it open. He said, I said, should I close it? He said, do everything what you did last night. I make sure it just wasn't a one-off thing. So I leave it in my office, leave it with the lid open, but plugged in charging. Go to bed, come back in my office.
And it was
morning.
Charging.
It was charging.
Okay.
The light's off again, and it's down to like 20% this time. And I'm like, this is.
Dun,
see,
dun,
see
dun.
Now Norm, he thought, Norm thinks he knew the answer, but he's baffled now.
Right.
And so I called Apple back, and then I started complaining to you about it, going, I think I might have a lemon, and you didn't know what.
At this point,
was.
I turned over to Norm and went, Made mouth roll, movements making, with my hand.
Making the roll eyes when he's fucking trying to get me to fix his tech problems again. Face.
Exactly. Gary has memory that doesn't work again.
I just want
to play Sherlock Holmes here.
I don't want
want to play Watson is what you want to play.
Sherlock Holmes says deduction.
I don't want you guys to solve my problems. I just want someone to hug me and tell me everything's going to be okay.
Tell me which of the women you hate for, Gary.
So I'm confident that no matter how much you try to Sherlock Holmes this, you will not figure out the solution.
You haven't provided all relevant information yet.
I think I have.
Give the clues a little bit at a time. So I'm going to play the role of the listener here.
All right. So I leave.
My gut says that there is something tied to a light switch in the room that you had it charged, where if you turn off the light switch, the outlets also turn off. And therefore, the power strip turns off. When the light turns off and it's not charging.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And if you think I'm stupid enough to do that, then you are absolutely correct.
Yes.
Sherlock Holmes it. I fucking Sherlock Holmes it.
Very well done, sir.
And I swear to God, Will did not tell my story.
So what I did was, there's one outlet in my room. Which
controlled
is,
receptacle.
Which is hooked up to the light switch. Yes. And what I did, I don't usually use it, but what I did is I have Christmas lights in my room because, you know, like Christmas.
Yeah.
And I hooked up a bunch of Christmas lights and I hooked it up to the light switch so that I could turn the Christmas lights on and off by the switch and not have to crawl under the desk.
Right.
What I did was I added a power strip and plugged the Christmas lights into that.
Nice.
Because I was running out of outlets. I also plugged the air charger into that. Uh-huh. So when I left at night and switched off the lights, I was also killing the power on the charger and leaving the MacBook.
Elementary, Gary. Elementary.
Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however unlikely, must be the truth.
However inane.
However fucking stupid.
Yeah. So Google Docs, eh?
So that's the MacBook Air story. And I do seriously believe the computer is amazing. And it has definitely created a little bit of a problem. But part of the reason why I wasn't sure about buying it is that, well, I've got an iPad. And this is really just crossing over into a lot of the stuff that I would already use the iPad for.
Right.
But it turns out I think there is room for both. I took, right after I bought the MacBook Air, the very next day I took it on a business trip to Seattle with me.
Okay.
And I took notes and I brought it home. And I used it, and it's flew Virgin America.
Free Wi-Fi.
Free Google Chrome Wi-Fi in flight, which was great.
Try to peddle Chrome to you when they're giving you the free Chrome Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it's on the sign-in page.
Okay, so you can download
it. It says provided by Google Chrome.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. Somebody told me you actually need Chrome for it to work, but I can't believe that's true.
No way.
But what I discovered was, usually what I do is when I'm typing on the iPad on a flight, I'll just put it in its little wedge position and use the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is good, but not great.
No.
It's not as good as a real keyboard on the MacBook Air, which I was really able to kind of write notes and do emails and tweet and do all the things that I could with a fully functional computer.
Right.
The iPad is great, but it is not a full computer. And, you know, I argued for a while that it is a full laptop replacement, and people were saying it wasn't. And I now concede that point, and I agree it's not a full laptop replacement because I see now what the Air can do.
iPad is evidence is part of the good enough, you know, for a long time I've been talking about technology getting faster and better and more powerful and cheaper all at the same time.
Yeah.
And we're reaching a point where frequently good enough is actually good enough.
Right.
So for a long time, what people would say, oh, yeah, it's probably good enough for browsing the web and checking email. But that really meant is you can browse the web and check the email, but you can't do anything else.
Right.
Now, especially with the embedded stuff like the iPad and the tablets and the phones, we're reaching a point where the things that are fast enough and good enough actually do present a compelling experience. And
the benefit is that it's good enough because
it's convenient.
Not only is it convenient, but you get that form factor size, and the trade-off is worth it.
And right. I got to tell you, more than good enough in this case. I mean, you know, Leah was – she was looking at maybe getting one as well, so she wanted to play – she likes to play –
An Air or an iPad?
An Air. She likes to play – she already has an iPad, but she can't play the Farmvilles on it.
Oh, yeah.
So she said, well, let me see if it will run full-screen Flash. And it actually runs it very well. Mm-hmm. I put Cataclysm on it just to see how awful it would be, and it actually runs fairly decently.
Norm played some StarCraft. It's not great, but you could play single player.
Yeah. So I'm never really going to want to do that. It was really just for fun. I write text documents. I do email. I do basic web browsing. I do Twitter, Facebook, and I watch some YouTube videos, and that's it.
Well, the thing that I'm finding is, and this is one of the reasons I've gone back to using the Kindle for reading books instead of the iPad, is that sometimes it's nice to have a distraction-free environment. And because that air, you know, because you're not going to be playing games on the air, and you probably, I didn't even bother installing Steam on it when I was testing the one that we had. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a distraction-free environment, which is. I mean, there's something to be said for that. Yeah. I mean, I still think that there could be more power on that. And I think that there's a happier medium on power. And I don't think it's gained by going for the faster clock speed. I think they need a little bit more capable CPU.
Right.
But that'll come in time.
Right. And honestly, I mean, I'm really, you know, you do the thing where you find yourself just like looking at it and going, it's actually quite amazing that something this thin and small is a fully functional and actually quite capable.
The biggest deal about it is that you put it in your bag and you don't notice it's there.
Basically.
It's lighter than a copy of Wired.
Yes. Yes, so, it's amazing. So I'm very, very impressed, and I'm using it a lot. And I think where I found the delineation is the iPad is for fun and my MacBook is for work. That's where I'm like, the only difference is when I need to seriously sit down and really type, and that's when the MacBook Air comes into it.
So if you had a mullet, then the MacBook Air would be the top, the work.
Oh, I see.
And the iPad would be the back, the right. Party in the back.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I'm happy with both. I do think there is some crossover. I think if I now had to give up one, I would probably give up the iPad, actually.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. I'm happy to have both, and it's a nice
so Google
crossover.
Docs, eh?
So what happened was, I having bought it, I said to my girlfriend who was at the store with me, oh god, but now I got to buy I've got
you gotta buy iWork.
I've got to put a word processor on my Word, like which that. Is another couple hundred bucks. Or I'm probably gonna get Pages, but that's still $80.
Yeah.
And she said, "Dude, Google Docs." And I'm like, "What's Google Docs?" And she's like, "Seriously?
Seriously?
I have these techno blind spots."
OMG!
I didn't know about the Twitters until quite late. I didn't know what MP3 or MP3 players were until I saw the first iPod. Which Jesus. Is not fair, not that late, but there were MP3 players before the iPod.
I learned about MP3s from Redwood Stomping Grounds.
Oh, you invented them because fucking techno superior.
No. The first time, listen to this, is going to fuck you up. The first time I ripped a CD, it took 14 hours to get 128 kilobit MP3 because I was doing it like a Pentium 60 or an AMD K62-100 or something crazy slow.
And what would you then play that back on? Like Winamp
computer.
Or something?
Winamp. Yeah. Or Music Match Jukebox, I think, was the new hotness at that point. Yeah, and then I bought that first Rio PMP300. It was like $200, and it held one CD worth of tracks.
I should clarify. I knew about MP3s because I was there with Napster with everyone else back in the Wild
West.
Stealing
madly.
Going, oh my God, like this is amazing. But I didn't know. The first time someone put an iPod in my hand, I was doing the thing where I was shaking it going, why isn't the music skipping? And I was like an old man going, where does all the music go?
1 hour of skip protection on this.
Yeah.
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 And it's like, I was shaking it going, this is amazing. The music doesn't skip like my CD player.
Except if you shake too hard, the hard drive.
I really was like a caveman peering in there looking for like the little musicians that were inside it or something.
It's like Ninja Turtles 3.
It was the monolith. It was a white monolith with a click.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
And it changed everything.
So Google Docs.
And Google Docs is another example of that. It's something that everyone fucking knows about. I, for whatever reason, have never had cause to use it. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, it's brilliant.
She said, go to Google Docs. And I'm like, oh, this is a word processor and a web page. She goes, yeah, and you can do this and this and this. So I wrote my document. I said, where do I save it? She said, you don't need to save it. It's saving all the time automatically to the cloud.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is amazing. And then the most amazing thing was, so this was the day before I went on my business trip. I go to Seattle.
Yes.
I went up to visit the guys from Penny Arcade.
Oh, okay.
And I had a fun.
Oh, does this mean we have a more automata?
Well,
future,
you know, we're working on some things that I can't talk about. But the things that I can't talk about we'll put into a Google Doc.
Interesting.
And
this is information you may not want to put out in the public. I mean, Google Docs is pretty secure, but how good is your password?
Well, it's not there anymore. It was just, you know, it was convenient for a while, but you know, you can do the offline download thing.
Okay.
But what I was able to do was write the document. And then on the way home, I'm in the cab and I'm like, oh, I want to write something else, but I don't want to get my laptop out. I can go on my iPhone and access the same document.
Yeah.
And then when I get home and I share it to the various people I'm sharing the document with, I can not only see that they're online, but I can chat to them in a little chat box while we're looking at the document together.
Oh, yeah.
And we can edit
collaborate.
Live.
Yeah.
We can collaborate. I know people are rolling their eyes going, everyone knows this already, but I somehow missed it. And so I'm just discovering it
well,
now.
It's really coming, Gary. It's come into its own this year too. Like, it wasn't as good a service this time last year, I don't think.
It seems like they've added a lot of new features recently.
But, yeah, I mean, we use it all the time. The other day, you know, I was on a train someplace, but coming into work or something, and Norm wanted to see copy on something. So I just shared the document to him, and he got it. And, you know, I did it for my iPhone. or Windows mobile phone or iPad or something. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was some sort of mobile device while I was standing at the BART station in Colma.
Yeah.
With a chair in the sky, dude.
So what about all this password controversy that's been going on? A lot of people have had cause recently to question.
Well, hold on. Let's we got a couple more things. Well, like one more thing. We got to talk about the ATI cards.
Oh, that's because that's more of a news thing.
Yeah, that's
it,
a news password thing. We got to keep the silos separate.
Let's
man.
Come back to that because it made me paranoid about my password.
You should be paranoid.
We'll get into it.
Very paranoid. Yeah,
they're out to get you. Norm, how are the ATI cards?
ATI announced and released their Cayman video card. So I don't know if you remember, we talked in October about ATI's video card launched for 2010, the 6870 and the 6850, which were the first 6000 series video cards, were crap. They were mid-range and budget cards.
They were no faster than the last generation, even though they were
slower.
Seemed like they should be faster.
Based on nomenclature, so they should have been at least as fast.
The
as
nomenclature
last year's
was misleading.
It's very misleading.
Yeah.
And then NVIDIA, a month later, released their 580 and more recently their 570 cards, which are amazing, super fast, fixed a lot of problems with the 480, which they actually they released earlier this year. So
okay.
Like 9 months after they released the 480, they did the 580. Lower power, faster, great DX11
just generally better.
Yes, amazing. ATI's, I guess you could call it a response now, even though they've had this in the works for over a year. And they delayed it, the launch a month. The 6970 and 6950s both came out this
week. These are the successors to the 5870 and 5850.
Yep.
Fuck ATI for their dumb naming scheme.
Performance-wise, not that impressive. Again, it's a problem with the naming scheme. The 6970, which you think, wow, 6 series? That's new. 9, it's got to be the high end. 7, the high of the highest end.
Yes.
It's only just a little bit faster than the 5870 and not as fast as the GTX 580. It's the equivalent of the GTX 570.
ATI. Why are they doing this?
They're doing it because they're in a transition state between 40 nanometer and no 32 nanometer, so 28 nanometer.
Oh, so you think so? So the theory is that the 28 nanometer part will be coming at some point in the future and will.
28 nanometer is definitely the next big thing for both ATI and NVIDIA. This is I don't want to say the last 40 nanometer part because we have Antilles coming out. But there were, it laid some groundwork for future generation ATI cards, and the emphasis for this generation, the whole 6000 series, was we had the lead last year with the 5000 series. Most people don't upgrade year to year. This is
ATI had a big advantage for a long time.
Yeah, they did. This year, we don't necessarily need people to upgrade. We will have a little bit better performance, so there's still something there, but also much lower cost. So their highest single GPU video card now, MSRP, is $370.
Well, so the other thing is ATI usually introduces new process technology on mid-range and low-end parts. They don't usually spin new process technology on the big, huge, expensive cards.
The problem is that TSMC, who does the fabs, they killed their 32 nanometer. And so this is, I think, was supposed to be a 32 nanometer part, but it's 40 nanometer.
Ooh. So it would have been a lot. I mean, at 32 nanometers, you could put a lot more
screen processors. So as a consumer, most people listening here,
as somebody who buys video cards,
if you want the fastest video card right now, fastest single GPU video card, which for most intents and purposes, you still want single GPU, dual GPU video cards are fantasy things.
Yeah, I mean, they're not worth spending the money on, is the experience I've had.
Go with NVIDIA GTX 580. If you want a great video card with a lower than $400 price tag, then you want either the 6970 or the GTX 570.
Okay.
And that all depends on whether you're an ATI fan or NVIDIA fan. ATI, I still like them.
They're more or less the same, though, right?
Performance-wise, they're more or less the same. This 570 has better tessellation performance. The 6970 beats it in many DX9
and the 570 has CUDA and their 3D stuff, which
so
we talked about.
It's brand affiliation and also what type of ports you want to support. If you use three monitors, go with ATI's 5970 or 5950.
Okay.
5950 is a great, great buy right now. Price performance king, I think, because it's $300 and it's only very slightly slower than last year's 5870.
This is a 6950.
Okay. Now, having said all this, you guys put an interesting piece on the website the other day about upgraders and how, you know, PC gamers see these new cards coming out all the time and start to feel inferior, like they need to upgrade. But many times they don't.
Yeah, they absolutely don't.
The thing,
every time.
Lloyd Case wrote this, and we should get Lloyd on the podcast sometime because he's a great podcast guy. But, the point of Lloyd's article is really you should only upgrade when you're going to see a significant benefit. So like when you did your upgrade earlier this year, you were upgrading from a whole new build. But had your old PC been running, you would have seen probably twice the performance in most of the shit that you were playing.
Well, but I mean, let's take me as an example right now. So I bought that 5870. Mm-hmm. I'm now looking at these new cards with the high numbers and feeling envious. No. But I don't. No, do I really need to upgrade?
No, you shouldn't even feel envious.
They're 15% faster. You're not going to notice.
They're
best case, they're 15% faster.
7 to 10% faster for the one above it, and the one below it is only about 5 to 10% slower.
Well, right? And the other thing is, you really only see the huge deltas on performance on video cards from one generation to the next, not from generation to the generation after the generation.
But the bigger point of
only see it at like huge AA and huge resolution. So 2560 by 1600 and 8x AA, you're going to see a performance increase, but you're never going to play games at that setting. So who fucking cares?
And the bigger point of Lloyd's story actually isn't that you should upgrade when you can see actually benefit. It's that the product you should buy should never be a new product. You should always buy when the next product launched, wherever that product launched in the same category, no matter what company.
So he's saying now is a good time to buy a 5870.
No, now is a good time to buy a GTX 570 or an ATI 5870.
Why? Because the prices come down?
Because prices always drop whenever the next thing comes out. When a thing comes out, because companies,
period,
they do
basically
hard launches, it's always limited release. So even though MSRP is $370, you're going to be hard pressed to find one for less than $370.
So unless you're insane in terms of having loads of money and
need it now,
being obsessed with having the absolute best, then it's actually beneficial to just be one generation.
And it applies to not just video cards, but most hardware, like cameras. If a new Canon, you know, when the 7D came out, everyone wanted it. It was hot shit.
But a 5D Mark II is going to be a lot cheaper.
Not only that, but when Nikon comes out, because usually rival companies, they stagger release, right? So when Nikon only 3 months later comes out with their competitor to that model, that's the time to buy the Canon.
Right. They then drop the price.
They then drop the price, and more by then it'll be more available.
Right.
So takeaway on the ATI cards is probably if you have a 5870, no reason to upgrade. If you have a GTX 480, no reason to upgrade.
GTX 480, no reason to upgrade. If you have a 4870 or a GTX 280, look at the 5950 or GTX 570.
5750. Okay. You want to do some news, guys? Let's play the music. So I don't think this is the biggest story, but it was a huge impact, and we alluded to it earlier, so let's just get right into the Gawker thing. Basically, over the last 6 or 7 months, Gawker has been systematically attacked, and basically all the user accounts and the passwords associated with them are public, posted on the internet. Now, those passwords are stored in what's called a hash. So basically, they run a numerical algorithm on the raw password that you type in. If your password is, say, my luggage combination 12345, then they run a hash on that. That generates a much bigger number. But the hash is always the same when you type that password. And that's how your password is stored securely on the internet, so that, you know, the dude who runs that database just can't log into the database and see, oh, okay, Gary's password is 12345.
You don't just get a list of passwords,
yeah, exactly.
Like in war games.
You can't kind of reverse engineer the password just by looking at the hash. I mean, you can, but it takes a lot of effort. So what people have been doing is, well, A, they've been doing, I think it's called a rainbow attack or something like that, where they take the most common passwords that people use, the things like, you know, 123456 and password and let me in. And
I don't know if it's surprising or not surprising. Many people use password as their password.
Well, I was amazed when I saw the list of the most commonly used passwords that came out of this thing.
And it's all your passwords,
they were
right?
They were 12345.
123456.
Password.
Yeah. Let me in.
Yeah. I mean, just
open
crazy.
Sesame is another popular one.
Yeah,
and
1111111
because these were comment accounts for Gawker sites. I'm not that surprised, but what that did allow is that it made the attack much easier to perform.
Well, and so the danger of this is we've talked about this before some, but the danger, this illustrates the danger of using the same password on all the sites, because in this breach, what happened was, you know, the comment account, your email address is associated with the comment account. So they know that I'm will@tested.com, right? And then they know what my password is if I have an easy pass. I'm not saying my password is one of these.
Wait, so what do they do? Is that they just put in a bunch of easy passwords, see which unlock, and then from that reverse engineer the rest of the hash?
Well, no. The hash is a common thing. It's a DES encryption standard. The thing is, Gawker's using an old hash algorithm for the passwords.
Okay.
Which is relatively easy to crack compared to like AES or something like that, one of the more modern encryption standards.
Right.
But yeah, basically what they do is they have a list of the thousand most common passwords, which is something you can just download from the internet. They run that through the encryption algorithm to see what the hashes are. And then they just compare the hashes that they have from their list to the hashes that are in the database, in the spreadsheet. And they can see, Will Smith at whatever, his password is, his hash matches this hash. That means right. His password is 123456.
Right.
This was bad for a lot of people. So what they do then is they take the email address, log into the email address with the same password, which most often you can do. A lot of people use the same password for everything. And from there, then they can go and get into banks and all the other stuff. Because once they have access to your email account, you just mash the forgot your password button and you can access almost anything. Wow, Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Right. Or just try that same password on other sites as well. See if that works too.
Yeah. But I mean, the worst case is for them that they have to click the forgot password thing.
Right.
So two things this illustrates. One is password safety. There's a bunch of different theories for password safety. Matt Braga wrote a great article about it the other day. I've written a couple of things in the past. Basically, you know, my theory is pretty straightforward. I keep a super duper secure password that has letters, characters, and symbols for email.
Mm-hmm.
Banking, things like that.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Well, actually, for banking, I put anything with money attached to it, I use a separate password.
A unique password. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair assessment.
Like eBay, banking, PayPal, everything. Yeah.
What I've been doing lately is I use the same base password for a lot of sites, and then I modify it based on the name of the site a little bit. So, for example, if my password for Facebook is 123456, if my base strong password is 123456, then I will add the first four letters of the site's name, but I increment each of them by one and one more per letter. So if in this case it would be, I would add FACE to the end, but it would be G C D F and then E F G H I. So, you know, the first letter is incremented by one, the second letter is incremented by two, the third letter is incremented by three, and the fourth letter is incremented by four. It's not super secure, but it makes those passwords vary enough that the hashes will be different.
Right.
And it's going to give me a unique password that still has a common base, so it's easy to remember.
So you don't have a password that is used on more than one thing. Every password is different.
I used to do that in the old days, but now I have one base password. And the base of the password is actually, I can't remember what it's called, but it's an acronym. So I have a sentence that I remember, and okay. You know, it could be, you know, Chloe is a fantastic dog and she's super furry, right?
Right.
So I can remember the sentence easily. I can back out and get the letters.
It would be so funny if the sentence ended up with the word password.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're what, my voice is my passport? That's a good one. So password strategy. That's it. You can also use the utilities. There's a bunch of them, OnePass and KeePass and things like that. And many of those have phone versions and Mac and PC versions. So you just install the utility on each of your PCs.
Yeah.
It will automatically generate a secure password and then dump it in when you need it, whenever you're browsing to that site. I'm always a little nervous about that because then I feel like if something happens to that password file, I'm completely fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of do what Norm does. I've got, you know, for like forums and stupid shit like that, I've got one level of password. For stuff that is more important, yeah, I have another level. And for banking and for the super secure stuff, I have a totally different password.
And then for my email, I use email one. My email password is not anywhere else.
Well, again, the problem is, though, that's just a good tip. So you want your email password.
Your email password has to be different from everything
because
else.
Because that's the master key that can
unlock
everything. That's
the one that can reset the other password.
The other thing that's super important for stuff like banking especially is to enable two-factor authentication. So what that means is, you know, when you try to log in to, for example, when I log into my Bank of America account from a new PC, mm-hmm, it says, hey, we've never seen you log into this PC before.
Right.
We're going to send you a text, and then you type the number that sends the text there. So that means whoever is breaking into that account has to know my password, my login, and has to have my phone as well.
What's when I log into my bank, it has a thing where it gives me a unique little icon.
The site key.
A site key, and I have to identify. How does that
So that's actually an anti-phishing measure.
Okay.
So that's to prevent you from going to a site that looks like your bank site but isn't.
Because only the authentic site would know what your picture is. Right.
Those things.
The thing about that is the phishing stuff has gone way down because the browsers actively work to prevent that now.
Right.
So you know, in the old days, that was phishing was a kind of limited window because, you know, they could make a fake site with a fake security certificate and a green thing that made it look like it was a legitimate site, except, you know, it wasn't. It was
I got
banke.america.com.
I got hit with 3 different Warcraft phishing emails this week.
Yeah, that's super common.
They're all of different levels of quality. One was clearly in very poor English, and it's like, okay, this one. And it was go to World of Warcraft with an E on the end.
Warcrafty.
Go to World of Warcrafty. And it was written like a Nigerian scammy. You know? Yes. It was just awful.
I have received 4 million Warcraft gold, Azeroth gold, and have 12 days to remove them from my Chancellor's account.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But then there was one that was actually quite good, and it was not good enough for me to click on it because I will never click it. Even if I'm unsure, I'll just go to the website.
Just type us.battle.net. Yeah.
Yes. I called and looked, and there wasn't anything wrong on the website. But just to be on the safe side, I called Blizzard support, and they're very good. And she said, no, that's a phishing email. You did the right thing, not clicking on it. And she reminded me, she said, if it doesn't say us.battle.net,
don't go there.
It's apps. And what you will usually get it from is noreply@blizzard.com, which is completely bogus.
Right.
So, you know, just be on the way for those phishing emails. Never click on those links.
But the tip that you gave is really good. If you have an email that you think requires action, just type in the address manually into the bar. Yeah. Don't click the link. Type it in. Go to the site
and don't click in the link. Type in the link they've given you. Type in the one that you always use. Yes.
Because if you have some sort of thing on your bank account or WoW account or whatever that requires immediate action, when you log in, something's going to pop up and say, "Hey, something requires immediate action."
And most people who listen to the podcast, I'm sure, already know this. Don't forget that even though the link could say worldofwarcraft.com and that's the real URL, they can make that look like anything and it will in fact take you somewhere completely different.
Well, not only can they make, even if you click it and close the site immediately, the fact that you clicked it, they know you're fish.
Yes.
Yep. They know that you've read the email.
You're
live.
Yep.
So but, yeah.
The email tip's a very good one, right? It's a good tip to know that your email, I'm considering changing my email password because once they get that, they can get everything else.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about the email password, so there's a couple of other things. There are also utilities on the internet that tell you how strong your password is. I don't need to explain why typing your password into a random site on the internet is a bad idea.
Right.
There are a couple of legitimate ones, but
How would you know?
Well, the thing to do is if you want to see how strong your password is, just make up a password that has the same number of characters, uppercases, and numbers.
Right.
And try same that. Length. Type that random thing in and don't use your real password.
Yes. Also common sense.
Yeah. Like, common sense.
Yes.
Common sense solves a lot of these problems. So yeah, keep your email address secure. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the big web mail providers providing two-factor authentication before too long.
Some websites is when you sign up and you put in your password, it'll tell you how strong or weak or good it is.
Yeah, but a lot of those are no longer accurate. A lot of those will tell you your password is strong if you have letters and numbers, and that's not really the
case. Well, what's the basic rule? What's the difference between a strong and a weak password?
Letters, characters, numbers, capitalized to both cases.
So a lot of places demand that your password be a combination of letters and numbers.
Right. Adding characters makes it much more complex.
Okay.
And then keeping it
Just because once you get into symbology, like the range of characters that can be used is so much wider.
Well, yeah, the possible number of combinations is the number of possible characters times to the power of letters. Hold on, is that right?
You're adding an extra factor.
It's a fact. Yeah,
you're adding potentially 60 more symbols or characters, right?
Yeah, because if you're talking about ASCII, then it's the last 65 characters or something, right?
Right.
So, letters, numbers, and symbols, uppercase and lowercase, right?
But they don't all discriminate between upper and lowercase.
Everybody discriminates is case sensitive these days.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then the other thing is to make sure you don't use words that are actually found in dictionaries. So don't use easy stuff like your mother's maiden name, your birth date, your birth year. Don't use any words that are found in the dictionary, even combinations of words that are found in the dictionary. Putting two words together doesn't really help that much.
Right.
Acronyms.
And this is all because of the hash thing. Once people get access to the hashes, then there are pre-generated lists of hashes with the passwords that go with them. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of those.
And
it's easy to compare.
So the people whose passwords were compromised on Gorka Are the people that had extremely strong passwords still safe, or would they ultimately have been compromised as well?
Even with the encryption standard they use on Gawker, pretty much anything that's out there should be considered dead.
Right.
So if your password is on Gawker, use it other places, you should go start changing it. You should have already done it. They send emails out to everybody that was affected. And actually, my name's on the list because I have a Gawker. I have a Gizmodo account because I used to write for them some. Basically, all the people that were affiliated that downloaded that list looked to see – to compare that to their user base.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, oh, hey, you actually should consider changing your password on our service because we saw that your account was compromised on the Gizmodo, the Gawker leak.
Right.
So I'm about to sneeze.
Have you taken any action?
I changed all my passwords.
Okay.
Because that was a common account, so that was the lowest of my low passwords.
Isn't that kind of annoying? Now you have to remember a whole other fucking – like you've got a password drilled in your brain for a long
acronym.
Time. Now you've got to start all over again.
The only thing I lose is the muscle memory, but it's already come back.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to switch to KeePass or something, or 1Pass or one of those things for the low-level stuff that I don't really care that much about.
Right.
I mean, almost for convenience as much as for security.
I wish, you know, my favorite system is the Blizzard Authenticator. I wish I had that for other things.
Well, that's the two-factor thing. You can do that with Bank of America and a lot
can
of
you?
Banks now, too.
Oh, yeah, because that goes to a separate device.
Well, yeah. It sends you a text.
Yeah.
Which is just as good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nexus S is available and is rooted already.
It's very quick, isn't it?
Woohoo.
Well, they don't really make it hard, Google. Are we excited about the Nexus S at all? Norm, you're markedly unexcited, I know.
Am I looking up or am I on my iPad?
Okay.
As much as it is
point
still
taken.
Possible to be excited about Android phones, I guess if you're going to be excited about an Android phone, this is the one to be excited
well,
about.
Well, the thing is, Gingerbread is a make or break release for Android.
Is this the fit and finish?
This is the
update?
Fit and finish update.
Because I saw some of the screenshots of the UI and it did look a lot cleaner.
Well,
it looked nicer.
It's not about clean and neat. It's about performance and consistency. Really.
Okay.
I mean, the big problem I have with Froyo and with Eclair is that it looks great. The functionality is there. But sometimes you hit the button and it pauses for like 2 seconds and you have no fucking clue why.
Right.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So yeah, Gingerbread. I'm excited about Gingerbread. I'm waiting for the Nexus to hit. I don't think we're going to actually buy one of those for review. I did call them and see if they'd send one, but we'll see how that goes. Vizio announced a passive 3D TV. So passive polarized lens glasses, not the active shutter glasses.
Not the one you have, Gary.
So our technology is already behind the curve. Is that what we're saying here?
Your shit's outdated.
TV Quest passive 3D.
Time for TV Quest 2011.
Begins right now.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So what? But seriously, are these passive glasses somehow, is this a better system than the active shutter system?
I don't know how the Vizio lenses work. The other places that I've seen that do passive glasses, Sharp had one that they showed at CES last year.
Yeah.
Do it by applying a Polaroid film that's polarized in a specific direction. And they alternate the lines. So odd lines will be left eye and even lines will be right eye. This is fine, except for you. That means you have half resolution in each eye because you won't see the left eye won't see the odd lines and the right eye won't see the even lines. So you're losing resolution, which is kind of
well, that's not as good.
But I mean, on the top and bottom and left and right HDTV thing, 3D right now, you lose resolution.
But
the only way you don't lose resolution is on HDMI 1.4 native.
Right.
Well, I don't know if there's one way you don't lose resolution is if you have stacking images, basically two TVs.
Right. That's the native. Oh, yes. That's
so because in movie theaters, it's polarized, but it's two projectors. So it's like double the TV.
Right.
And because it's projection images, they can overlay on top of each other. I'm not sure if that can work on anything but a DLP. Like theoretically, a
I don't
rear
think
projection
that works on DLP even.
A rear projecting TV. Because it's rear projection. Like you can stack images.
I guess with the DLP they could have two color wheels and one is a Polaroid lens and one is a filter. But the thing is, rear projection DLPs are on the outs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this might not be as good, but I think Vizio's whole thing in the market, right, is that they do pretty good stuff and it's cheaper than.
Yeah, I mean, Vizio makes good TVs.
This is the people looking to get into 3D and they don't want to spend a lot of money. Maybe Vizio is something they can look at.
I mean, you're going to lose resolution, but I mean, I think you get kind of some cross chatter and stuff like that. Regardless, it's not a perfect experience on any TVs, even the super expensive ones.
Right.
And Vizio has a reputation for making pretty good stuff. Mac App Store dated. Coming in early, like January 6th,
January
I think.
6th.
Happy New Year.
Are you excited? As I see more PC app stores coming, I am less and less excited by the day.
The idea
you
being,
know what I'm excited about?
The idea being to download programs to my computer is not a terribly new idea. I guess the idea that it's all in one nice little shop
I like the idea
good.
Of curated. I mean,
yeah.
The thing is there's a lot of kind of nice apps for OS X. that are all strewn about thousands of little tiny, you know, publishers' websites. And it's usually just like two dudes working in a garage.
Right.
But I also don't really feel like, I mean, I like demos. Maybe the idea of having demos for that stuff is kind of neat.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll check it out. It's not, it doesn't feel like a game changer the way it did on my phone, because that was a totally new idea.
I mean, the one thing that is nice is that then I won't be using PayPal to buy, because I hate typing in credit card information on a bunch of little random people's sites.
There
so
you
I
go.
Usually just use PayPal. But I mean, I feel like I'd rather go through Apple, because I kind of trust them not to be dicks with my funds.
I'm inclined to agree.
I'm excited for Cydia coming.
I think Cydia is super interesting.
For so Mac, you can you'll be able to jailbreak your Mac.
It's not technically jailbreaking.
It's more about skinning and stuff like that.
But the idea is
so if you want like custom themes and stuff,
core UI elements, yeah.
Because I'm actually a little bit jealous. I see all these people on Windows. They have these great custom themes and custom UIs, and I guess
on Windows that traditionally makes your PC super janky, super unstable. It'll be interesting to see if that applies on OS X. It seems like the Cydia guys have a pretty good understanding of how that stuff works.
I don't like to mess with that stuff. I just I'm happy for it to be.
I like my stuff to just work.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why you're. Gary.
We don't like winning.
We're old.
We're not willing to go out on a ledge the way that Norm is to win.
Old. Google Demo Slams. Have you guys seen these?
I watched them all last night.
They're fantastic.
So through my
let's explain what they are.
Explain what they are, and then your impressions. Yeah. Google announced last week that Google like demos, like tech demos, because they have a lot of services, and might not have been aware of Google.
Did you know they have this mail thing?
What's
they do Google Mail.
Oh, they have email now. I should get that. What is
Gmail?
That called?
Google Search.
Oh, that's brilliant, because it sounds like email, but with a G.
Yeah, Gmail.
I should get one of those.
I'd highly advise it. Sexy Girl 420.
They're encouraging you to help them market their products by creating videos.
And I think they're giving away fabulous prizes, too.
I'm not sure what the prizes are, but you definitely get fame and internet fame on the YouTubes.
Internet fame is, why are we here?
That's right. Whatever reason, other than to be attention whores.
And they've commissioned a couple themselves. And they have some of their internal staff doing some videos.
They have attractive Russian tennis players. I like
that. They have Maria Sharapova.
Yes.
And then...
Are you suggesting that she's not attractive Russian or a tennis player? Because I think she's all three.
Which part of that wasn't true again, Norm?
No, the players part. They have one.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
Fair enough.
And then they're encouraging other people.
Make an appearance, I'm sure.
No. Well. And then they have what other people have created.
Yes.
For the demo slam. So it's like a poetry slam. It is a demo slam.
So you go to this page. It's like demoslam.google.
I think it's even demoslam.com.
Okay.
And they will show you two videos, and you watch both of them, and you tell them which one you think is better. Or you can even go on YouTube and watch the playlist and just watch them all at once.
So it's like a bake-off, and these are all things that are created using Google's tools.
Yes. The thing that I found, and we'll talk about the specific ones that we've seen, is that they all look incredibly professional. Like people spent –
Even the one that was like two girls ordering Indian food.
Yeah, super –
Norm nearly had an iPad drop. If he was hooked up to an adrenaline heartbeat EKG.
Right, his heartbeat just fucking skyrockets.
Let me compose myself.
This week on the live
Calm
show,
down. Calm
this
down.
Week on the live show, we're going to hook the heart rate monitor up to Norm, and I'm going to smash
and
an
drop,
iPad
and drop
on
his
camera.
Technology. I dropped my iPhone. I had my first concrete iPhone drop this week.
That's why you have a green.
That's why I have that hideous green bumper on it to protect it now, because I had a scare. But I swear,
Demo Slam, focus.
They all look like they were either shot with professional cameras or like a DSLR with movie capabilities, and heavily edited with like amazing audio video, or they're produced by like. Artist groups, like artist collectives, hey, after we have our real bake off, let's go make a Google video.
Are you implying that artists smoke marijuana?
I am absolutely.
I was impressed by what I saw. Ironically, I discovered this because I discovered Google Docs and I was wanting to find out more about it.
I indirectly found it.
Yeah, somebody sent me a link saying, look at this thing.
About this the moment I saw it. I thought it was the greatest
thing. It was created entirely in Google Docs, and it was this amazing presentation.
Yeah, let's all go around and say the best one we've seen.
Best one that I saw.
Was a animation.
Yes, that was created. I guess it was like a PowerPoint.
Best and worst, actually.
It was like a PowerPoint-type slideshow presentation. It was 450 slides that had been created entirely in Google Docs. And it was this beautiful avant-garde kind of flash animation.
I didn't actually watch that one. I haven't seen that.
It's the best thing I've seen
it was great.
This week. Second best thing. But
do you not click – because I tweet these things. Do you not just
– I need to
have
trim
Have you blocked
down.
Me or something?
No, I have. I follow like 350 people and it's too much. I got to trim back.
Also, you got to tweet less, Gary.
Yeah, you tweet a lot.
I do, but only when it's awesome.
Sometimes I give you
the point of Twitter is being very concise with your ideas.
Well, I never go over 100
concise.
Tweets.
Each tweet is concise.
You had 12 tweets this morning about Pink Panther.
Well, Blake Edwards died,
and Julianne's just very sad, but that's a lot of tweets about Pink Panther.
Here's the thing that I think.
I think that's disrespectful.
I want TweetDeck to automatically put people who tweet in the columns that are appropriate for their frequency. So people like you and me that tweet a lot, Gary, we're both
high,
big tweeters.
High traffic.
Yeah. Yep. We should have the noisy person column.
It's got to go deeper.
And then the next column over is like the slightly less noisy people. So they're the people that post like three things a day. And then the column past that is the people who post like once a week.
Right. People you don't care about.
Yeah. Right.
So that when they come along, they don't just get shunted by eight more tweets of our board.
You know, Will, that's called groups. it's called groups.
I think no one uses it. But I tried to do it, but manual doesn't work. It's too much work.
I think I'm going to tweet less. There are people that tweet way too much. And you see, it comes in spurts. Like if you follow Kevin Smith, he won't tweet for like 6 weeks, and then he'll tweet
it's like
50 times 50 in 10
things
minutes.
About his wife's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
and
I'm going
to And it fucks up my whole feed. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to turn that off.
Yeah.
And I'll do it as well. Like, I went on a Pink Panther run today, and I think – and when I did my cheesy movies, I think I lost a lot of followers.
Yeah,
that was
a horror.
But there were so many good
ones.
But you
had a huge win this week also.
I did with my Darth Vader joke.
Oh, that was awesome. You got top tweeted, didn't you?
I got top tweeted. I got retweeted by Will Wheaton.
Nice.
I got about 250 followers, and it's still being retweeted.
Did top tweets retweet it though?
Top tweets
is the thing that like it has an algorithm, and it's like hitting the front page of Dig for Twitter,
yes,
basically.
And I got a thing saying congratulations on your 1,000th retweet and things.
1,000 retweets.
Wow.
It was crazy.
I think I've capped out at like 155.
I'm going to go to my children's joke book, science fiction joke book, and just start tweeting.
But you can't do that though, because I did another cheesy joke a couple of days later and it did not recapture the magic.
That wasn't as good though.
The presence thing was really good.
That joke was lining in a bottle. You can't just throw any old stuff.
Sometimes you
there.
Just capture internet magic.
It was internet gold.
There's no science to it.
I'll never have that recipe again.
Wow. No, it's like Chloe's barking at the iPad video.
Right.
2 million views on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see that again in my
life. And you can't set out to say, I'm going
to
tweet something that's going to take over the internet or
no.
I'm going to create a YouTube
video
that's
going to
go viral.
Let me know when you get your Twitter money.
Do you think when Tay Zunde did Chocolate Rain, he knew that it was going to be a big deal? Absolutely not.
But he milked
the thing.
He tried to then recapture the lightning and failed.
No.
Cherry Chocolate Rain.
He was on Dr. Pepper commercial.
That was the stuff that came out of it. But then he did Musicolio and it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
People were sick of it by that point.
He was the only person in that South Park episode that
like, same with the guy.
If everyone up in here is getting raped, guy came and tried to do the Bender.
That guy made bank on Halloween costumes.
Yes, he did, but he can't now do another one and expect it to take off the same way.
That's true. Sometimes it's like whistle tips. Sometimes shit just works, and it's only once.
I appreciate him selling his headbands and Halloween costumes and stuff because he knows he's smart enough to know he's not going to get another bite of the apple. You get one. You get to be a YouTube sensation.
Absolutely.
Like, where's Don't Tase Me Bros follow-up video? Like, you don't get one. You get a one. Everyone on the internet is a one-hit wonder.
Who? There's got to be one viral video.
Name.
Rick Astley?
No.
Again, one time.
Dramatic Prairie Dog?
No.
Yeah, but these are all. There isn't anyone out there that's
Tron
had
guy.
More than,
Tron guy was on Wired today. He reviewed
the
new Tron movie.
He didn't do anything.
No, I'm not
different.
Saying that you can't take that one hit and milk it for a long time. Yeah. I'm saying that you can't have two hits.
Okay, go.
There isn't anyone.
I will say. Okay, go.
Yeah, but they're
the
actually
news.
Making real music videos.
Like, Auto-tune the news.
What about Auto-tune the news?
They do something different. They've had a shitload of.
Well, no, but, right. but again,
videos
that's one gimmick that they just keep doing. They've created a series, but it's a series gimmick.
But it's a different thing every
once
time.
As someone who works in Hollywood, you should know once you have something that works once, you should ride that fucker all the way down.
I mean,
yes, I agree. And some people have created successful franchises, but they're all based on one idea.
Well, yeah.
What I'm saying is Tay Zunde, for example, who tried to go and do something completely different.
No, but he did the same idea. It's his voice.
Yeah.
Well, he tried to create another viral song.
Hey, Gary, can you move your phone off the microphone cable?
That's what Auto-Tune News guys did with Double Rainbow and also the
Auto-Tune News.
Well, Auto-Tune
all your women.
Ripping all your women.
Right. They take things that have already gone viral and they do the inevitable mashup.
So they're derivatives.
I'm saying
YouTube
that the Bedroom Intruder
guy
is never going to be back on YouTube going, oh, you wouldn't believe what he's done now, and he's done some other crazy thing that's gone viral.
Unless he has one chance, they find the rapist. Once they find him, that is the one chance.
Reporting from outside the courthouse, Bedroom Intruder guy.
How did we even get onto this?
I have no fucking clue. We were talking about Google Demo Slams.
That's right. So, man.
Let me trace this back.
I don't even think
This is the tangent of a tangent of a tangent of a tangent.
It was the...
All back to Gary's sweater. Was it? I don't know, man.
I don't remember.
It was the Google Docs one?
We were talking about that. I was getting ready to say that I thought that the indie rock girls in New York ordering indie food using Google Translate was the worst by a pretty wide margin.
I didn't even see that.
Okay, so wait. I think we're going around sharing the best ones. And Gary, you saw the...
Oh, that's right.
The PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
And it was all done in Google Docs.
450 slides.
And it sold the product well. I thought it did a very good job selling Google Docs and also being very creative.
It was very impressive.
Yes.
Will, you say the worst one is the two girls.
Indie rock girls.
In New York. No, hipsters say
scene girls?
Yeah, no, they were indie rock girls. They were wearing funny glasses.
No.
They were what's the word everybody uses to describe Zooey Deschanel?
They're the pixie.
Pixies.
Pixie girls.
Pixie, indie, magic, whatever. Indie
pixie I get it.
Sure. Yeah. Right. With bangs. and tight shirts.
The thing that made me happy about this whole thing is that the cute girls with the tight shirts earning Indian food and kind of being funny and cute were not the popular one out of the one that I chose. Or one of the slams that I had to pick between.
Are you kidding me? That's the second most popular one. That's the third most popular one.
Well, at the time I did it.
So what were they doing? Using like a translator?
They used Google Translate to order Indian food.
They order Indian food by... on the phone, and they had the guy on the phone talk to the computer.
They had the phone held up to a speaker.
I see.
But it was fucking terrible.
This sounds like kind of pandering, though. It's less about the technology and more about trying to get votes by putting on tight t-shirts
and
being cute girls.
That is totally it.
Sex sells, Gary.
And using a nice camera.
I'm wearing a tight t-shirt tomorrow.
And then also some, you know, cute music editing.
Yeah.
That's like number three most popular. The one that's actually, I think, the most popular still right now is the Mount Rushmore one.
That one was fantastic.
What's that? I don't think.
And it's using Google image search. Or Google goggles
where on the Android.
Take a picture of something and I'll tell you what it is.
Mm.
Right. And they recreated Mount Rushmore with four guys in like a paper mache.
Like they put the trees in the right place and they built the mountains the right
with
angles
paper mache,
and all that.
And then they put their faces through the silhouettes.
And spray painted themselves gray
and made the faces and then used Google goggles so Google would recognize their face as Mount Rushmore.
Right.
And then I saw like a lot of projector ones. Like these people did a fake road trip across America by making fake, you know, putting two couches together and projecting Google Street View.
Google Street View, yeah. That one
and driving cross country. And there was like a Japanese one with a guy skydiving using Google Earth. And so they would zoom in on Google Earth slowly as they...
We could do that with the green screen.
They were hanging on ropes and wind was blowing on their face. It was like they're skydiving. So they're kind of novel. I like the one with the artist collective group who made these giant Google letters and then went to a field and ran toward the camera, so it was Google search background. It looked like they were stealing the Google logo.
Interesting.
I thought it was very creative.
It's a clever marketing thing.
The point is, a lot of them look way too well produced.
Well, they said, hey, we're going to seed this with some to start.
Yeah, I couldn't tell which ones were real, which ones were not.
Right.
Many of them look way too well produced.
Well, the first dozen, I'm sure, were sponsored or Google employees.
Even if Google may have spruced them up a bit,
or funded something.
But they said there's no secret here. They said, hey, we started some of our own.
Yeah.
Because the Maria Sharapova.
Yeah, what does she have to do with it?
She was this one was funny. So they had three dudes. One was holding an A, one was holding a B, one was holding a C.
Yeah, and she hit them with tennis balls.
She hit them in the balls with tennis balls off of her racket. It's funny. Guy getting in the balls.
Where does Google get the money to pay these celebrities?
Are you kidding?
No, of course I'm kidding.
You've heard of Google, right? Yes. Well, dude, you hadn't heard of Google Docs an hour ago.
They're trying to get some more marketing out there. They're trying to let people know what they are, what they're about.
We're about more than search. Okay, so anything
else? So check it out, Demo Slam. I don't want to spoil all of them. I just think a lot of them look way too produced, unless people are just really that talented out there. In that case, I'm very impressed.
I think this is a testament to the democratization of content creation. I mean, it's a lot easier to make good video now.
Yeah, even the one with two guys. There was one with two guys just singing a song using Google Instant Search. That looked way, way well produced. Super nice cameras, tight editing, really good soundtrack.
I think if you have a couple of days to spend on something.
I agree. It's easy to make stuff that looks pretty good these days. With a little bit of talent and know-how, you can do some amazing stuff.
Congratulations. We live in a very talented world.
It's a fucking chair in the sky, man. Google Maps for Android, new version is out. It is super cool. 3D view of the maps and streets and all that. And it's the
This
feature.
Is the one feature that I think is much better on Android than on iOS. Navigation. I have never, ever used my phone while driving as a GPS device.
Yes.
And so, I would never want to. Even like there's just something about maps on iPhone plus navigation.
It's the fact that you have to manually turn.
Even with GPS turned on. Like even like buying a GPS app, like the screen size and the way the GPS works on Android, navigation day one. I mean, even on
that's
Droid,
it. I'm changing back to Android.
It was all, it's been awesome. I know people who use. I mean, even if you dock your phone, have like a dock car dock for it. Yeah. Android is a better GPS than iPhone.
Well, if you get the T-Mobile app or something like that,
it depends on what app you put on it. Like Magellan has an app. ATT.
Android's built in.
Right. I mean, that's the difference.
Navigation
is you don't pay for it on Android.
Right. Well, that's
a standard app.
Right. I mean, that's of the two things that I miss on Android. Navigation is the second one.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you pay for having an Android phone in all kinds of other ways.
Oh boy, here we go.
Why don't you talk some shit about how bad GT5 is now? Chrome OS notebook is people have it. It's. I mean, I don't understand all the reviews of a device that nobody is ever going to be able to buy, but it seems interesting. I guess if you're
we'll be able to buy it next year.
Not the CR48. It'll be a different.
Yeah, I'll just have a sticker on it.
Maybe
it's kind of cool that they're sending out these free.
Well, they're notebooks. Trying to build buzz.
Yeah. How do they have the money to do that?
Exactly. How can they afford to just build all those free notebooks?
Google, instead of spending a lot of money marketing to me, why don't you just pay my taxes next year? Then we'll be even.
That would be such a great publicity move, wouldn't it, if they just paid everyone in America's taxes?
Last year, it was free Wi-Fi in Virgin America, right?
This year, no tax.
If Congress couldn't have got that, you know, tax break done, they could have paid a difference.
Yeah.
That's true.
Galaxy Tab sales price drop. It's $450 now on contract. It's not much of a price drop.
Is that a sign of problems?
They sold 1 million of them. I don't think they care that much.
They sold 1 million?
That's what Norm said. A million.
Oh,
that's that means there's a million slightly frustrated new tablet owners.
A million slightly unhappy people now.
Maybe they don't know anything else.
I wonder, man, what's the big deal with all this tablet? I don't understand what all these iPad people are saying. This thing is dumb. It's slow.
Exactly. They're fucking up the whole – it's like these bad 3D movies that are fucking up the good ones.
Yeah. Clash of the Titans, we're talking about you, motherfuckers.
Thanks, Jeff Katzenberg.
Yeah. No, Katzenberg's the one saying that that's not – he's the one against that.
He's the one who's saying there are 3D movies that are fucking up the business.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I called you Katzenberg.
Oh, you're talking to me like I'm Katzenberg. Yeah. I see.
You're the Katzenberg proxy.
I thought you were saying thanks a lot, Katzenberg. Like Katzenberg was the
Katzenberg
fucked up.
He is so behind 3D.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a business guy, true and true.
Well, you know, I was going to bring this up before, but then we got off on TV Quest. I think that the 3D deep Blu-ray exclusives for manufacturers is idiotic. Like if they want to drive adoption of 3D Blu-ray content and 3D TVs, the thing that they should be doing is you should be able to buy everything that's awesome so that you can show your friends.
What's easier for the consumer to understand, the difference between Samsung and Panasonic's 3D technology or the fact that one has How to Train Your Dragon and one has Avatar?
This is the traditional thing. People take a small competitive advantage and use that to chisel a piece out of a smaller market when they could be working together to make the market
bigger. But this isn't a kumbaya moment. I'm not if I'm the head CEO of Panasonic, am I interested in seeing the spread of 3D TV or am I interested in seeing the spread of Panasonic 3D TVs?
It's HD DVD and Blu-ray.
Exclusive titles. The thing is, fucking Panasonic dropped the A-bomb on How to Train Your Dragon and Coraline when they got Avatar because. You know,
that's the killer app.
That's the killer 3D. App for 3D.
Yeah.
At least until Tron is out, and it looks like that's kind of a stinker anyway.
Yeah, and Panasonic's now extended, as we said earlier, Avatar into 2012.
Well, I mean, and when Pixar runs and drops all of their 3D movies, drops 3D versions of all their movies, that's going to be the fucking mother load.
Yes. Except that's Buena Vista ABC. They don't make TVs.
I would argue, though, even that, because a lot of people already own those Pixar movies on Blu-ray, and if they want to buy them again...
I don't have any of those movies on Blu-ray. I have WALL-E and Up. I'm totally going
to
buy those.
But there isn't anything out there right now that they could release that would come close to challenging Avatar as the 3D killer.
Yeah, the thing is, 3D for those types of movies is the thing that would convince me to buy Blu-ray of those movies. Because right now I have them all on DVD.
I got
to
tell you.
Is Toy Story 3 not in 3D?
Huh?
Is Toy Story 3
no,
not in 3D?
It's three disc combo pack, but no 3D.
I got to tell you, I sat down and I watched about 20 minutes of Avatar in 3D on my TV and it looked great. But I'd rather I'd still rather watch the 2D version.
Do you rather watch Book of Eli or Avatar?
I'd rather. Well, I mean,
that was an unfair question.
It's an unfair question.
Yeah. Last thing is Yahoo laid off a whole shitload of people yesterday. That really sucks. And it looks like Delicious and Reed that web blog viewer thing that nobody uses anymore are going away. And Yahoo Buzz. Are we surprised?
I don't know who still used Delicious. I think people stopped using Delicious when Digg got popular.
I didn't even know Delicious was still going.
When Chrome, see, I always used Delicious as a way to sync my bookmarks across computers. When Chrome had bookmark sync.
The problem with Delicious is I never knew how to spell it, where the periods went. So when I was on a new computer, I couldn't get to my bookmarks because I didn't have a bookmark to Delicious.
Yeah,
two minutes ago, 2 minutes ago, my Darth Vader joke just got retweeted. It won't end.
Fucking You're goodness. An unstoppable killing machine, Gary Weta. All right, okay, so I think that wraps it up for us this week.
You know what else is apparently still a thing? AOL.
Engadget, dude.
Somebody sent me a
AOL link. And joystick and all that. That's all owned by AOL.
Somebody sent me a link yesterday saying, oh, because they knew that I liked American Idol and I liked Crystal Bowersox last season. They said, oh, Crystal Bowersox's album is out and you can listen to the whole thing on AOL. And I'm like, fucking AOL?
Yeah.
And apparently it still exists.
5,000 hours free.
I had no idea.
One disc.
Oh my God.
Net zero.
Do you remember when those discs were in every fucking mailbox in America?
Oh, I used to get dozens of them.
Oh my God.
Who actually had AOL?
I had AOL. I got AOL when I went to Alaska and I needed cheap internet up there because like getting a local provider, I would have to get a contract and AOL, I could just sign up for a month.
So what's their business model now? They're not a portal anymore. They're not a service. They're doing content. Okay.
They're Yahoo.
Yeah. Well, no, Yahoo. I think AOL actually has an idea of what their business is and Yahoo doesn't. The problem with Yahoo is it's a huge internet portal, but they kind of don't want to be an internet portal and they don't want to be a search thing. And
I don't think Yahoo's got a clue either. I agree.
It's harder to go from search where there's tons and tons of money to be made to content as opposed to service to
Google. Google and Yahoo are the perfect examples of how to grow the business the right way and the wrong way. I think.
Well,
I'll give my tenure CEO a B-.
Okay, so on that note about Yahoo, sorry if anyone lost their jobs. That really blows. Yeah, We've all been there. But good luck, and we'll miss you, Delicious, kind of. For Norman Chan, Gary Witt, I'm Will Smith. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Fake Outtakes right after the music.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
That's it.
It's our job. Sometimes we do stuff that's awesome. Sometimes we do stuff that's just dumb.
Holy shit, it's 5 o'clock.
How long was that podcast?
Hour and 56 minutes.
Ah, not long enough.
I like the tested theme music. I like the outro music.
Do you think I can get away with just chopping this podcast in half and calling it 2 weeks?
Nope. Absolutely not.
No, because what you've done now is you've spoiled people. They expect the podcast to be 2 hours long now.
I can't do 2 hours today, though.
Let's just do another podcast next week.
Can we Skype in?
We can Skype in podcast.
You want to Skype in on Wednesday, maybe?
Isn't that like Christmas Eve?
No, Wednesday. Oh. Christmas Eve is Friday. We could Skype.
When's your last day?
We could do it this weekend or something.
No, I'm busy this weekend.
Yeah.
Will's gone this
week. We could do it tomorrow before the live show.
I'm free tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow before the live show. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good talk, everybody.
All right.
Fake outtakes. Wait, hold on.
Why is there an empty bag of frozen peas on the table?
I was
going to
ask you the same question. Trader Joe's naturally sweet organic peas.
No, they're Trader Joe's Safeway, right?
No, Trader Joe's.
Okay, that's not the same peas. I bought peas for the pies you made.
Yeah, but why are these peas here?
And these are different peas, apparently.
Well, you know, peas in a pod. Why did you get the green condom for your iPhone, Gary?
Well, it's not an interesting story at all, but I'll tell it anyway.
Well, if it's not interesting, let's move on.
I bought it's a bit interesting. I bought a black bumper when I first got the phone.
Racist.
Well, I just didn't want it to stand out.
Okay.
You know, I don't like the bright colored
ones. I bought an orange one because I thought it was going to look cool and it doesn't so
yeah,
much.
Well, so I bought the black one and then, as you know, I took it off for a while because I just liked rocking the phone naked. And then I had the drop.
Boom. Wow.
I had the drop this week.
The fear.
And I swear, the time it took to hit the ground was probably about 2 seconds. But it actually felt more like two minutes.
Did you scream? No!
What it was like, and it bounced off the ground in slow motion, boom, and did the whole thing, and then it landed face down, and I just stared at it for like 2 minutes, like a kid that had dropped his ice cream cone, like my bottom lip quivering.
Oh man!
And I was terrified to turn it over to see what the damage was. And as it turns out, here, I'll show you, the damage was actually not that bad. You can see right there is a little bit of scuffing on.
Yeah, not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
On the bezel. But it was enough to. It was like having a heart attack, right? Like you want to shape up after you have a heart attack.
Well, you think you just made a $600 mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it definitely gave me a little vision of my future, and it was not pretty. So I thought, well, I'm going to put the bumper on. And so I was going to put the black bumper on. And then what I realized was, the reason why I took it off in the first place was when I put it down, I kept losing it. I got a lot of like black granite countertops at home and black tables. And so the phone is all completely black. And
yeah,
so,
it's like Zavod Beeplerox's spaceship.
Yes.
Or Black Desiato, I guess.
Like it's a Hot Black Desiato, Disaster Area spaceship.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the Spinal Tap album. My question is, how much more black could this phone be? And the answer is none more black. And so I put it down, and I would lose it everywhere. So I thought, well, fuck this. I went back to the
store. The side is kind of shiny metal, though, in fairness.
What I did was, yes, but with the black bumper on.
It's
completely engulfed in black.
Yeah.
And so I went to the store and I said, can I still get in? Because I never did it at the time. Can I still get in on that free bumper program?
Oh, okay.
And they said, oh, we never did it. And I said, but I dropped it. And they went, oh, all right then.
What?
Nice.
At the Apple store?
Yeah.
No way.
And they
Was this before or after you bought that MacBook Air?
This is before. Oh, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So I went to the store and...
Is this when you got the good parking space at the mall? The Costanza space.
No, that's when I got the Costanza space when I was looking for something else to go.
Okay.
I was looking for another product. But
okay.
So I went back. This is the day before I bought the MacBook Air. I went into the Apple store and I said, "Can you give me the free bumper?" And they said, "Yes, okay. Let's go get one for you." And he went in the back. I said, well, can I just pick one? He said, no, there'll be a stock in the back. And he went in and brought out a black one. And I was like, oh, but I already have a black one. I thought the benefit would be that I could get a free one of a different color, and then I'd have two and I have a choice. And he said, well, we can only give you the black ones. I said, dude, there's like 50 of every color hanging on the wall. Can we not just swap it out? And they weren't like ones that were just in a plastic bag. They were retail bumpers in the proper packaging and everything. And he said, we can't do that. You know, there's barcodes and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, come on. I said, you've got $50 billion in cash. You really can't swap the black bumper out for a green one.
Did you really say that? Did the poor fucker work in retail?
I did.
Nice, dude. Nice.
And he said, we really can't help you. And I went, okay. So I took the black one anyway. The fuck it. It's better than not having anything. So then I went back the next day.
This is genius.
I went back the next day and I said, I was given this as a gift.
Oh no!
I don't have a receipt.
Oh no!
Can you swap it for me?
And the same guy was like, "Okay."
No, this is a different store. It was all. This is all very Ocean's 11.
And yeah, you're a regular Don.
Oh, I planned this for hours. And so
it's a small victory, really, isn't it?
And so the manager comes out the back, and it's Andy Garcia. And I was like, "This is fucking. This is ridiculous." And anyway, so the guy,
you're going to get blacklisted from the Apple store.
He says, of course we can swap it for you. So he goes and runs the barcode. I'm like, oh, this is going to.
Oh, no. Were you eyeing this slide out of the dropping gate?
I'm going to be rolling under the trellis gate as it comes down.
Maintain composure. Heartbeat can't go above 100 beats a second.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so he came back and said, the weird thing is. He said, "This wasn't got this. You didn't get this from an Apple store. This would have been bought from a Best Buy or something, according to the barcode." And I couldn't say, "Well, I know that's bullshit because actually it's a replacement."
Yeah, I picked it up at SoundSound yesterday.
So you said it was a gift, right?
So I just said, "Oh," but they couldn't have caught. Like my gift story was flawless. They couldn't have said, "Well, this was a replacement bumper." Or I could have said, "Oh, well,
my friend's clearly an asshole."
Yeah. And
then you saw him out.
I said, "Oh, I'm so I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind and make my excuses and leave very quickly."
Right, indignant, never return to that store again.
Exactly. But then what I did was I was looking at the MacBook Air, and I ended up buying one. And the guy was quite friendly, and I was like, obviously he's ringing me up for $1,000 purchase. I said, "Dude, can you help me out here? I've got a black bumper. I'd rather have a green one." And he said, "Since you're making a big purchase, I can help you out." And I got the green bumper, which is hideous, as you can see. It's hideous.
It is super duper ugly.
But I won't lose it, but I almost wish that I would if it looks like this.
No, so how long before you get rid of the bumper?
That bumper's going to last a week.
What's going to happen is my initial – because I'm still in the kind of – I still remember the residual
fear
of the drop.
Yeah.
The time is going to – what I'm going to do is either go to the black one and have to deal with losing it again. Or have you seen these gadgets now? There's a little Wi-Fi keychain you put on, and if you walk more than 50 feet away from your iPhone, it goes off.
It's retarded.
What is that about?
Yeah, I agree with Norm on this one. Retarded.
Not as retarded as some of those products I showed you at the Brookstone.
Oh, my God.
When I was at the mall looking at the Apple store, I went across the street to the Brookstone store. And apparently Brookstone's business model is now all about selling you shit for your iPad that you don't need.
And the quadricopter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
iPad docks, iPad frames that are all a fucking cozy iPad pet bed.
What I want to know is what's going to when they change the shape of the iPad next year, what's going to happen to all the old iPads? Is it going to be accessories that you like hang that shit in your wall?
Well, the case makers love that, right? The iPhone.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Every
for the case
year, and they get to bring out all new products.
Costs nothing to make.
Yeah.
You know, okay. If they change the design of the iPhone this year, I still might keep this iPhone because it's the
you
only
love that
phone.
Design.
I love the fact that you can keep it on any side. Keep it up on any side.
Yeah, but when do you ever really do that?
Norm does it all
the time.
He never is without his iPhone.
But how is that useful like that?
It's just take photos cool. of to admire.
Oh, just, yeah.
To admire. Look how I can admire
for glamour
now.
Shots.
Like, oh, no, on the table, on its back.
Wait, hold on.
Fuck
can
that
can
shit.
I do it on the bumper? Nope. No, I cannot. Look.
No, it's like a fucking, it's the 2000.
And of course
monolith.
I remember
it's
that.
Fucking, yeah, it's a monolith. That's right.
Of course I remember that as soon as I put the bumper back on, as soon as I get in the car, I've got to plug in the bullshit adapter again because it doesn't fit the standard.
Yeah, the fuck you adapter is what that
is. You can't work with any dock.
Bullshit.
Doesn't work.
Can't use it with a dock.
So I got to tell an Assassin's Creed story because I was playing last night and I had fun.
Okay.
At one point last night I was playing with Ryan, Jeff, and Johnny V and Adam and Boyles and some other people, some readers, right?
Yeah.
And at one point I was doing so badly, consistently sixth place, that instead of like silently sneaking around and trying to – have you played this at all? Have either you?
No,
have
I've never played any of the Assassin's Creed games.
Okay. So Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the whole point of it is that you're supposed to sneak around and be completely like silent with your stabbing, right?
Right.
Like you want to blend in with all the other NPCs that look like you. You're part of the crowd until all of a sudden you just kind of brush up against somebody and bam, stab the fuck out of them.
Right.
So I was doing really bad because I hadn't played it at all. And at one point, I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to start screaming. So as soon as I saw someone, instead of like casually following them and trying to cut off corners, and because walking speed is the same for everybody. You can't walk faster than the other person.
Right.
You can start running, but then they immediately know you're there.
Right.
So instead of being the one to make him break cover, I just started yelling, hey, I don't know who is the doctor, but I'm right behind you. I'm going to stab the fuck out of you. Run, motherfucker. Run, 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 run. And it worked. He started running, completely freaked out, ran right into me, bam, right in the stab. It was really super satisfying.
So you were using like psychological gamesmanship.
Yeah, I completely fucked with their mind.
That's very clever.
I don't know about that, but it was fun. I like yelling at people and then stabbing them.
Sounds like a fun game.
Well, you should get that game. It's very good.
Well, I feel like I'd be throwing myself in at the deep end because...
Literally the first time I played, by the end of this of an hour, I was like top three.
You know what I want to do is I'm going to get back into Mass Effect 2 and play all that DLC that I never played.
Oh, yeah. Shadowbroker's really good.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Another thing. There was one other character that they added on that I guess wasn't that exciting, but the Shadowbroker's good. So
yeah, the other thing. Have you played Enslaved yet?
No.
You should get that. It's real super cheap right now, and it is awesome.
Okay.
It is. The ending's kind of weird, Vinny says, but. But the game as a whole, like it's by the same people who made Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was broken because it had the tilt controls, as I recall.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty good.
Does it matter that much in Mass Effect that because I was going to play through again and try and get it all right? I lost a couple of my NPCs. Is it really going to affect my game that much?
Well, that carries over into the third game.
Yeah, you got to replay the whole thing, or replace through at least half of it if you want to keep all your NPCs.
Yeah, basically all you have to do is do all the
Yeah, but I'm saying
quests.
If I don't care about, I mean, I lost the lizard guy and the
Grunt, he's the best guy.
No, the other one.
Garrus?
The other one.
Oh, the Salarian.
You lost the doctor.
The one that looks like Greedo.
Yeah,
The one
that looks like the...
The one that was the assassin and he had a disease.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. The one with the sun and... Now, the one with the beady eyes.
He looked kind of like Boss.
Yeah,
he had a son.
He was a super
I can't remember
super
his name.
Assassin. I can't remember his name either.
Garrus.
Garrus is from the
alien.
First game.
fuck, what's the guy's name?
God, he had the big black eyes.
Yes, he died.
Racist.
He died, and the bald chick, Sinead O'Connor, died. And so, like, my question is, does it
Jack,
matter?
Jack.
Does Sinead it matter that much?
Name.
I mean, am I going to...
You know, okay, the difference between Mass Effect 1 and 2 is that when 2 started, it made a bunch of assumptions about how you ended the first game.
Well, no, or you could import the save.
You know, even though you aborted the save, there were some assumptions that were made.
Well, you had to answer a bunch of questions, right? And that's how it kind of
yes,
figured
but
it
like
out.
It still showed like the Citadel wasn't destroyed, obviously.
Right.
And you know, but
Thane Krios is the
Thane.
Thane.
That's right.
Is Mr. Stabby.
But it did import, like, there are many, many things from the first game that popped up in the second game, either as actual plot points or just NPCs
like
lying around.
Conversation.
Like, oh, you bumped on this guy. You rescued this girl from the big slug monster or whatever.
Right.
That compounds in Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
And I don't think you want to miss out on any characters. Because they're only
because you never know which ones are going to pop up again. Because remember, like the like
I don't want to play it all through again.
You can download a fucking save game.
Oh, no, you're playing on Xbox, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm playing on Xbox.
Sucks for
and
you.
And I played halfway through. I did a Paragon course, and this time I got it right so nobody would die because I fully upgraded the ship.
Yeah.
But I don't like being a Paragon. Can't I just play and not have Thane and Jack? I hate Jack anyway.
Well, the thing is, that is the part. The thing is, it all depends on which characters they bring back.
I mean, a lot of players must have not had everyone survive, well,
the,
right?
The thing is, I think they can't bring any of those players in the crew back as playable in the next one, or else you won't have access to them. Like, I don't see how they can make that work. I think it has to be all new crew.
Right, because...
And they'll end up as NPCs or whatever, or not.
That's the point. They can't redesign the game around every permutation of who may have died in the previous game.
Right. Unless the potential crew is just huge.
Unless they're super ambitious.
And, or you choose, like, which crew you have.
My guess is in the Mass Effect 2, the characters that died could only be the relatively inconsequential
everyone
ones.
Could die.
Could they?
Yeah, no, every you could kill every single one of them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then how can
you know you could have died?
Yeah, you could complete the mission and die.
Everyone and Joker would have given a eulogy for everyone.
So then, Mass Effect 3, how can you possibly play over if the Mass Effect?
Well, then
3
that's why I say
depends
makes,
on those characters.
It makes some assumptions about what happened.
Well, no, they don't make assumptions. What will happen is the NPCs. I think those people will be NPCs and they just won't show up if they're dead. Like when you went to the grunt homeworld.
Right.
And you saw the dude from the first one, the big lizard guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have been there if he had died in the first one.
Oh, yeah. He died for me, so he wasn't the king.
Oh, yeah. See, he was there, and he was the king of that planet for me because I had helped set him up.
So I want to do the DLC, and I want to carry my stuff over to Mass Effect 3, but I don't want to replay the whole game. So I'm just – my question is, like, how much –
the
like,
thing
am
for
I
me is
– on if I've got a couple of characters
I,
that
I wish I had played on PC now, and I had started the first one on Xbox, so I played the second one on Xbox. Now I'm stuck for the Xbox on the third one.
Yep, PC. That's why. It's easy.
Anyway.
Okay. Maybe I'll play the third one on the PC and just not bother with the character transfer.
Yeah. Or download somebody's character that has the right stuff. That's the other thing you can do.
I can't wait for that game.
I know. I'm excited
about
that.
Mass Effect 3.
Love the Mass Effect games.
Oh, my God.
I think Mass Effect 2 might be my game of the year.
Who did you have a romance with?
I had a romance with Miranda.
Yes.
The main chick.
Yes.
And I had...
She wears that tight-fitting white bodysuit.
And I had a bit of a thing with the Justicar, although nothing ever really happened there.
Who's the
the mom?
Yeah,
the mentalist.
Yeah. Although she could have died. You could have got her daughter as your crew
and
member.
Then she kills
That's
you.
Right. Well, yeah. If you go, I didn't do. If you go full renegade,
right.
Then you can kill her, and then she takes her place.
Right.
Evil daughter takes her place,
right.
And no one on the ship knows because they look the same.
Right.
It's your little filthy
I didn't
secret.
Know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You can go like tease most of the relationships.
Yeah, and then you know there's the cute like the yeoman girl who
gives
you,
I got
brings
it.
You your mail.
Oh really,
Kelly?
You can make her. Give
that's
you a,
the best thing ever.
She'll, give you,
best
a, she'll give you a lap dance at the
because
end of the game.
That's the after you beat the game,
and
romance.
You kind of shag her as well. Although it happens like off
wildly
camera,
wildly inappropriate.
Like, he's like, "Will you come to my cabin?" And the next morning she's like, "Ooh,
and that works with your male or female.
We did a few things I regret." But then at the end, you can make her kind of put on a sexy outfit and dance for you. And you can do that even if you play a female shepherd.
Yeah.
Nice.
For extra fun. But you can romance, I think, almost all the female characters.
Yeah,
right?
I wanted to see if I could, the weird one with the mask.
Do you think BioWare...
Huge success.
You
she gets
that.
A cold.
You can totally do that.
Do you think BioWare will ever fully make it equitable? Because I think it's a little bit unfair that as a... male shepherd, you can knock up pretty much all the women.
No. If you were a lady shepherd, you could get around too. There were plenty of options.
No, but what I'm saying what I'm saying is what they don't do yet is let a male shepherd get it on with a dude.
Yeah. Like Garrus and
I'm not saying that's something I'm
Hold
crying
on.
Out
so,
for.
So they're cool with lesbians.
They're cool with female shepherd getting on with chicks.
Oh, that's weak
sauce. They're not cool with male shepherd getting on with guys.
I didn't know
they
that.
They did have some male on male gay in Dragon Age. But that was elves, which they're all gay anyway,
kind of
right?
We're getting into a dangerous line of talk.
But no, I think there have been
all of our elves have stopped listening.
Yeah, our elf listenership is
make
is
more gone. Cupcakes.
But that I believe is something that BioWare have come under fire for. There's a little bit of hypocrisy there that you can have the lesbian.
Yeah, I think that's pretty lame.
Yeah. So maybe in Mass Effect 3, maybe that's the big thing. Maybe you and the elusive man.
That's the kind of thing they get it on. They're not gonna put that in Martin the Game Informer article.
As it's used in voice acting. Elusive man.
Not so elusive anymore. Yes, I've been elusive the whole game, but now finally the trilogy pays off with what you've been wanting all along. Shepard and Martin Sheen getting it on.
Oh, man.
Who voices Shepard?
It's just some dude.
Yeah, some dude.
Some dude with an awesome voice.
Yeah, he has a good voice. Sounds like he smokes a lot.
How many... I always find it interesting when BioWare released their statistics for Mass Effect, for how people played. Like, they say 40% of people played with a female Shepard. Do you change your Shepard face? Do you customize your Shepard face?
I customized mine in the first one and kept it through the second one.
I kept it through the second one.
I have the generic
Shepard
face.
The second one was way more detailed. I mean, because... Yeah. Even though you keep the same like facial structure, it was a lot more detailed.
It's always interesting. They covered it well in the second game, where you know they want the character to be consistent, but they have to give you the chance to redo the face, or they make it so that he needs to do reconstructive surgery, and you know his memories are messed up.
Well, that was the big thing about the second one. Shepard is dead, and then came back.
Right. Well, I'm going to be interested to see how they do it in the third one again, because they have to again keep the character consistent, but let you kind of recreate him.
It has to be fresh.
It's an interesting challenge.
Mark Meer is the voice of Shepard.
He's got a great voice. He always he always kind of feels a bit like he's phoning it in, though, don't you think? Like, he never really
he's got to record thousands of lines of dialogue. He's
always like, there's no context with those lines.
Tell me more about how your homeworld was destroyed. Like, he doesn't seem that interested.
Did you hear the thing about Gary Shandling on the Gary Shandling box set? You bought that, right?
The Larry Sanders box? Yeah.
There's an extra on there that I heard about on the radio or something where Rip Torn reads the alternate curses that they would loop in.
Yes.
It's fucking the funniest thing ever because he does each one like four times with different kinds of inflections.
Right.
And it's bullcrap. Bullcrap. Bullcrap.
Yeah.
Bullcrap.
Nobody wants to see that version.
Bullcrap.
I think what it is when you put the disc in, the menus when you're selecting your episodes, they have this ambient sounds from various outtakes and things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Okay. I think we have delivered on fake outtakes today. Controversy.
I got a proclamation to make.
Rest
proclamation.
Easy.
Norm.
Got tech problems? Sherlock Holmes that shit.
I got to admit.
Did you just make a Norm meme? Is that what just happened?
Oh, we never even talked about that.
We can do it on tomorrow.
That was the biggest story in tech
tomorrow.
I want to talk about Norm memes.
We're at 2 hours and 20 minutes.
But then, this is the problem, and we'll get into it
tomorrow.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
You are doing the thing you cannot do. You created a meme.
You know what?
But now you're trying to artificially perpetuate it.
He's feeding it.
You are.
You know what?
You can't just say, oh, here's your next meme.
It would be a problem if the things I was saying were not true. Everything I say is true.
Memes. You're doing it again. Memes have to organically arise out of the internet populace. You cannot just deliver them like the Pope on the balcony.
Next line, everything I say is true.
She's doing it again.
Oh, my
God. You cannot say, it's like Milhouse is now a meme. You can't just create, you can't just make Milhouse a meme.
Milhouse has always been a meme.
No.
Yeah, everything's coming up Milhouse.
The only Milhouse meme is Milhouse is a meme not being a meme. It's the fact that he's not a meme is
what
a meme is.
Fuck, what happened there? I don't understand.
I don't think you meant to.
There's a lot of them on that meme generator site now. And also that picture of Katy Perry's boobs in the ads.
Does she have her boobs out in ads or something?
She has boobs in the ads.
Oh, I haven't seen that. But no, I think that you should consider yourself very privileged to be a meme, and you shouldn't abuse that privilege. And I feel like you are abusing it.
Got to give the people what they want.
You're tweeting things that are basically meme bait.
But you know what? They're true. Everything I tweet is true. And
at this point, you might as well just type it into the meme generator.
And
yourself,
everything
just
I have
your
said.
Own memes. Just
what do you think? You think I haven't done that already?
Okay. We'll discuss the whole culture of memedom and Norm.
Yes, memegenerator.net/Norm's Norm's rules to live by
with hyphens between
with hyphens. Yes, and a capital N.
Norm's rules to live by.
I have no imagination.
The only thing is that I don't like that some of them aren't actual rules.
The Dr. Pepper ones were my favorite.
It's also true. Also true.
I'm not average. I'm normalized.
Sometimes I can't drink a full can of Dr. Pepper. Oh, I get to the second half and I'm like, oh, it's already flat. If you have two half cans in the mini fridge.
No, I get it.
Awesome.
My favorite. My favorite is still shaving body hair. Always a mistake.
I never said that. Never said that.
Well, so I think somebody added that.
Yeah, I am impressed with the Sherlock Holmes. The fact that you got the light switch, I was ready to bet, willing to bet real money that you would not have gotten that.
What is it again? I'm going to go ahead and put it in so that you know what I did. Enjoy.
I said, got tech problems.
Sherlock Holmes that shit. you know where I gave it away, and I could see the moment where you deduced it.
Oh, yeah?
Is when I told you the light on the charger wasn't on.
No, but if most people would say, oh, then your power strip is
yeah, you didn't
off.
Plug it in. Dumbass.
But then I went the extra
step. How did you make the deductive leap to the light switch?
Because I know it's Christmas time, and I know a lot of people do that. And a lot of people have houses where that light switch
is. So you actually factored in the whole Christmas lights equation. You are the fucking Sherlock Holmes of technology.
Norm's a genius.
Elementary, my dear Chan.
Okay, we're done.